gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Coming to you live, North Central California. Your MC tonight. My name is The Mechanic. We are joined tonight by Sergeant Miller, Mrs. Biological Female known as Pack, Two Feathers, Mr. Roe, Jer Bear, and myself. We're going to get to these fine people in just a moment. I have a few things I'd like to say, if you don't mind. Go ahead and stop sharing the screen there. Get into some details. And last week I was jibby of circumstances, not able to complete my monologue. So tonight I just got a few words to say. It's not going to be too lengthy. So a few things I noticed. Again, along this timeline, the markers are on full display. The precedent is being set. I can't remember a time where I can't remember a time where a visiting president was scheduled to come to America, and that the city that was going to host these particular global leaders, because that's what they are, these are global leaders. In this particular case, there were many global leaders, but the only one really showcased was Xi Jinping. And in this showcase put on by San Francisco, no less than a week ago, you could not walk down your average San Francisco street without stepping in a pile of human fecal. Today, you can't find a crack in the sidewalk. It's all nice and pristine for communist China. Why is that? Why do they clean up San Francisco for some commie? Is something for sale? If I'm going to go sell my car, I want to give the best presentation. I'm going to do a detailed clean. I want to get the most I can, right? They removed every United States flag between the airport and the hotel. Unbelievable. The disrespect.
Hey, was that in the paper, or how was it brought to your mind about that? No flags happening, please.
Just a video I saw on Twitter. Guy followed the whole journey, and there's no flags. You can't find any American flags. He gets out of his car, and you don't see the flag. There's no flags at the hotel. Somebody went to the hotel and specifically asked them to take the flag down.
Was the vehicle that the president of China was driving, was it, had the China flag?
Yeah, the China flag. There were people on the sidewalks, Jared Bear, holding the Chinese flag. No American flags.
Oh, that's bullshit. God, dog. That's
fake.
But, you know.
Okay. So let me continue.
That was set up. What do they call those people that start the shit? Like the backup and
instigators.
Yeah, proprietors or
this is a poke in the chest of the American citizen. We don't give a damn about you. We're in charge of your country. We're going to push you around. We're going to bring in communist dictators, and we're going to make them feel at home, American, and you will have no say. And now I'm hearing that they're going to force Gavin Newsom on Americans. That's right. They think that they're going to put Gavin Newsom in office. And what I have here is a little gaffe, and we'll get to the panel. I just want to play a little gaffe real quick. Here we go.
I want to talk about Governor Newsom. I want to thank him. He's been one hell of a governor, man. Matter of fact, he could do anything you want. He could have the job I'm looking for.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he can have the job that I'm looking for. It's Joe Biden today.
Do you think, what was I going to say? Do you think Biden should be prosecuted with his son with all the bullshit they played on us, like they instigated on Trump? I probably brought that up before on this show, but.
Do I think Biden should be prosecuted?
Do you think he should? Well, the way they tore into Trump with all his, his they're after him for, trying to keep him from running. But why isn't the American people looking at what Biden and his son done with, and that the story with the laptop, it went under the rug and we haven't heard shit, you know, and there was probably a lot of evidence and a lot of stuff to bust him by. Where's nobody speaking about it?
We're here to talk about it now, Jer Bear. I don't think there'll be accountability there. I think that there'll be very little done about the corruption within the Biden family. There's a lot of talk about it, though. Congress is starting to really, really have some pretty deep conversations about Hunter and his actions. I don't know what's going to come from it. He still has felony charges pending on him, but at the moment, they're trying to impeach Mayorkas. They want to get rid of these guys. They would love to impeach Garland. These guys are in part responsible for the destruction of the country, both
basically, morally,
ethically. Are you just going to continue to interrupt? Go ahead, Jeremy. What do you got?
No, I didn't need what I was going to say.
That's what you do, though. So go ahead.
I can't help myself. I'm
sorry. I know you can. Go ahead, man. What you got?
What I was going to say is maybe he's the puppet in there, which he is. But if we go to war, I think they said they want Trump. I don't know. I'm all thrown off. I'll pipe down and mute out.
So going to war, if that's what they anticipate, which that's what they love, they live on, they feed on going to war. And Jacker's claim is that they need a wartime president. And that wartime president is Donald Trump. Now, I don't think he's the wartime president. I got to be honest with you. He's like the only president that didn't go to war during his tenure. He refused to bomb Syria. He did a couple of things at their airport, but yeah. I think, and this is funny I say this, you know, you take a look at The Simpsons, and The Simpsons, for me now, they're not just a cartoon. The Simpsons have pretty much predicted most things that have happened on the planet, not just like in America. However, The Simpsons have predicted Donald Trump will be the president in 2024. It's pretty crazy. I don't know what that looks like with Trump as president again. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it sounds like, but I know that it will ignite the type of rage I don't think this country. I don't know. You guys, the panel's wide open. Anybody can jump in. God, what do you got, Jared Bear?
I'd like to say what Flippy just said to get back on the course of San Francisco. He says, I would like to know where all this San Francisco homeless went for this arrival of this meeting. You guys got any news on
it? They trust me, they found homes. They found shelters. They made room. If the government wants to clean up a city, it can do it. And we just saw what it looks like when they really want to clean it up. We know they can do it.
Is that in the San Francisco Chronicle? Is it in the headline news? I've got to check it out then.
I doubt it. You're just going to have to go to Twitter. That's where you're going to find it.
All right. Keep going. Yeah, Twitter, I'm just throwing some things at you. Don't throw back. I'm innocent.
I'm going to read a quote here, and I want you guys to decide or guess who said it. I posted a video for Donald Trump on my personal social media. One of our big sponsors called and said, take that down. You know what I said? Go yourself. It's not just because of the money. It is about the money because it's a sponsorship deal, but it's not just about the money. I'm not going to take a bigger offer if it's not something that I am aligned with and I don't 100% believe in. Now, who do you think said that statement?
Well, I'll take who is Dana White for 500 there, Alex?
Ding, ding. Dana White was confronted by one of his big sponsors. He didn't tell us who it was. And they wanted him to stop promoting Donald Trump. Stop having him at your shows. Stop having him at the fights. Stop promoting his pictures. Dana White tells them to go off. You're not going to tell me who to vote for and how to run my business. It's great. It's great. We need to see more of this, folks. We need to see more of this by corporations. By corporations. We need to see corporations publicly disavowing the environmental social score, the ESG. We need corporations to start taking a stand. If they're not owned by BlackRock, they can do it. And the UFC is not owned by BlackRock. So they can do whatever the hell they want. And that's part of the problem. You're going to see.
Who is the UFC, bro?
What?
Who is the UFC?
You know, it's the Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC.
You're staying in Vegas, Jerry.
It's boxing.
No, it's mixed martial arts.
Oh, okay. I don't know. If I don't have.
You should. It's in your backyard.
I am very introverted that's
I mean, there's a fight. There's a UFC fight at the MGM Grand every other weekend.
I don't play outside anymore.
Understood. Pardon. Okay. That's Dana White. Dana White's cool. Dana White puts the smack down when he needs to. Really impressed with Dana White. My Twitter feed. Let's run it. Again, we're on the High Council here. If you're tuning in every Wednesday, let's keep it going. Let's keep Revolution Radio going. Find out the website. Get over to the website. Smash that donation button, revolution.radio, freedomsips.org, freedomsips.net. Get in there and smash that donation button. Get in there and make a contribution in some fashion. We would really help us keep this Hawks dream alive, if you will. I think I would have gotten along pretty well with Hawk, to be honest with you. I think he would have liked my approach to this twisted reality that we live in. By the way, I want to read you a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue.
I think Hawk would have gave you some A's in your shows. He gave you some great feedback. Good. I like it.
Yeah, I think he would too.
God bless Nighthawk.
There's been a motion today put on the floor of the House. It's going to be followed up, and it actually passed. It's going to move a little. I think it's got to move a little further up the chain. But the removal of Rachel Levine. And if you don't know who Rachel Levine is, Rachel Levine is a Navy officer in the United States Navy, who was given a commission by the President of the United States as health minister. This is a transgender who goes around telling Americans that children can choose their own gender. That's who this Rachel Levine is. It's a biological male. Okay. So there's a motion to get rid of that one. That's great. I'm in love with that. That's 100% great. Can you imagine Newsom getting taken out and Michael LaVon Robinson is the president of the United States? A transgender black male is president of the United States?
Oh.
I believe that would be the precipice of civil war in this country. If they try to force feed this country a blatant transgender homosexual as president, and furthermore, so that it is Michelle that beats Trump in 2024. Michelle, a.k.a. Big Mike, beats... Now, hey, Jerry Bear, can you mute?
I'm sorry, I didn't know I was...
Big Mike, my bad. Beats Donald Trump in the 2024 election. Would be grounds for revolution in this country. Because you got to know it's hijacked at that point. Come on. Even the dumbest of the dumb would have to know the fix is in at that point.
Well, I heard today that Newton will be Biden won't be on the card for president for the voting. Newsom will be, and then Big Mike will be the vice.
Yeah, Big Mike, vice president. That's right.
Yeah, the two of them.
I believe that that will be the final straw for this country. I believe that that will be a kind of, we no longer have a president. This guy's a sham. They tried to tell us he had kids. There's no kids. They lied to America. They tried to put kids like they had a family. Why not just be honest about it?
Who's the VP you said? Boo, stop it. Who's the VP you mentioned under?
Big Mike.
Michelle Michael Obama.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Big Mike is Michelle LaVon Robinson. Michelle LaVon Robinson is Big Mike. You follow?
And
yep.
I believe Tucker Carlson will be the running mate vice president for Trump.
You might be right about that.
Hey, here's another thought too. It's awful funny that you know, they paved the open road for Jinping, right? Instead of God blessing the open road, you know, they paved the open road for Jinping to come today. And if Big Mike gets in, just think of him being president. And then that would be the open road to telling us wide face open that Jinping is going to be our daddy.
Yeah, no. So let's continue down. I'm not doing it. No, at no point will I ever take a knee or give acknowledgement to one. I don't do that for Biden. You think I'm going to do that for Jinping, some communist bastard? You know, outside of where they dropped him off at the hotel, there were Chinese, non-CCP Chinese Americans fighting CCP supporters on the street.
Wow.
Next to the hotel. There are actually people willing to fight for CCP. I don't get that at all. All right, let's change subjects now. We're going to go down my feed here. I got a few videos to play for you. We're just going to hit all these things, and then we'll have plenty of topics to talk about here.
Well, I see your communist. I see your communist president, Jinping, but I raise you, Marxist communist president.
I'm right, Two Feathers. You're not going to get an argument from me. Okay. that didn't work. Let me try this again.
Shout out to the mechanic.
Much appreciated. All right, so this is we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL. And there's going to be some familiar names right here. I think this is a great video. It's old school. Pat Sajak used to have a talk show, believe it or not, for a couple of years. Here we go.
No volume.
You can't hear that, McKinney.
Oh, you guys can't hear, huh? I wonder if the volume is just...
You probably have to redo it. Drop the share and redo it, bro.
The powers that be, anything? We
just want me to go away.
No volume?
Yeah, you guys hear that? Hear it now.
Yeah, we heard about it. Thank you.
What are you hearing from the powers that be? Anything?
They just want me to go away right now.
We've spoken to them, and they don't want to talk about it either. They have nothing to say.
Well, they're not denying anything, and they're not refuting any of the facts.
Let me talk about some of the major charges. And I just jotted down a few of it. I mean, you're saying, for example, virtually every team owner gambles on football teams?
Well, I'm saying that no fewer than 26. NFL team owners have documented ties, past and present NFL team owners have documented business ties to either the gambling community and or the organized crime syndicate. I'm also saying that no fewer than 70 NFL games have been fixed.
Now, that's pretty rough stuff. You're saying no fewer than 70 NFL mm-hmm. games have been fixed. You mean the outcome, the point spread, what?
I'm saying the points were shaved and thereby fixed.
How does this happen?
Well, I first got into this about 1983. Vincent Persani, who is the head of the Michigan State Attorney General's Office Organized Crime Division, told me, if you're going to do a book about the NFL, Dan, you're going to have to get into this guy Don Dawson because he was fixing games. We knew it. I went to my friends and my sources at the Internal Revenue Service, the Organized Crime Intelligence Division. They said Don Dawson was fixing games. I went to the FBI, the Organized Crime and Racketeering Section of the Justice Department, and Strike Force Field Offices. Everybody told me what Don Dawson was fixing games. At that point, I had enough evidence to print that allegedly Don Dawson was fixing NFL games. He was a major bookmaker in the Midwest. I then went to Dawson. I tracked him down. I jumped through all kinds of hoops to interview him. And when I interviewed him on about the seventh or eighth interview, he admitted to me that he had personally participated in the fixing of no fewer than 32 NFL games.
How does that happen?
He liked to work with the quarterback. He would go to the quarterback would come to him and say, I need some bread. What's the line on the game this week? And the bookmaker would say, you guys are favored by 6 points. And then the reply was, we're not going to cover the spread. And basically that was it.
Mm. Now, do you name players?
Oh, sure. I name players. And also in 1979, I go into the specifics of 8 fixed games that were allegedly fixed by 2 referees who were investigated by both the FBI and the IRS. And I list the 8 games on page 308 of the book.
Yeah.
Okay. After hearing this, okay, did a little bit of research and come to find out that, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but a good number of these umpires, these referees in football, Freemasons. Also, that if you watch and pay attention to the numbers, every single score has a storyline to it. Or at the minimum, it will have a way for you to identify who is in control of the narrative. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're spending thousands or $10,000 a year on football games and food and jerseys and Super Bowl this and that, you've been duped. Because shortly after this guy did this interview, that's right, you've been duped, Raider fan. Shortly after that interview, about 5 to 6 years later, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, has ruled. There's a ruling where it stated that news media in sports, in music, and various other outlets on national television and national radio and publications are considered entertainment only and have no obligation to the truth. And furthermore, they ruled that sports and media outlets may set and control the narrative to their prerogative. This is a Supreme Court ruling. They have no obligation to the truth.
When did they put that into law?
Mid-90s.
Oh, so that's why the 49ers, which I follow, but they don't. Kyle Shanahan's been there 7 years and hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's always late to the playoffs. No. So, and Judd, and the owner, I can't think of his name right now, he gave him a raise like three games into the season. Hey, can you move it out, sir? And he gave John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan raises three games in the season, and then they went 5-0. But I feel Judge York is his name. I feel that he just wants the money. He fill the stands, blah blah blah, and a cheap quarterback right now. So that makes a point to what you're saying, bro.
Right, and the fact that they were able to convince the Raiders to force vaccinate all of their fans.
I was gonna go to that game, and then they said you got to stand in line outside the stadium or in the parking lot area to and get vaccinated. They'll let you in. Blah blah blah. I said no way. I turned that down.
Every single person that got in that line duped, lied to, potentially murdered, potentially robbed of any future existence, average lifespan of somebody with a booster shot, 5 years. They found plasmid DNA, cancer-causing plasmid DNA in the vaccines in Canada. Canadian Health has admitted it. They've produced a story, a report. And America is twiddling their thumbs right now. Unreal. 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 Okay, back to the Twitter feed. All right, I got a couple of videos, a couple sound bites I would like you guys to hear.
So, Mechanic, I'd like to inject this right here. So what me, myself, Two Feathers, has been raising the point from the rooftops, have been saying that they run to the stadiums by the tens of thousands. And I was correct in my saying. Not to boast on myself, I'm just making a fact and a point. That's all I was doing. And yet they were willing to take the shot, just like you're saying. They were willing to take the shot, no problem. Hey, give it to me. I want to flop like a fish. Dr. Miller, go ahead. Oh, man.
He's not here right now.
Yeah, you guys can. Everything is speculation.
I wanted to get a job for the Super Bowl. They're hiring come in Vegas here at the Allegiant. I wanted to get a job there at, like, selling sodas. Sodas, you know, when you go, they go down the aisles. And then just split and just watch the game and just work in there and sneak in like that. They're hiring people for that, but who knows?
You're going to be surrounded by a bunch of vaccinated people. So
I'm sorry.
Here's Tom Rentz, and this is 7 minutes, and he's testifying in front of a couple of senators here and a congresswoman. And so this is a congressional hearing. And 7 minutes of fire where he ties together the CIA, the DOD, and COVID-19 vaccines. First time I've heard it. Here we go. I'm going to run it all the way through. No interruptions.
So profound that it's mind-blowing. Do you understand that when you got... Well, I don't know if you got the shot. When someone got the shot, they didn't get it from Pfizer or Moderna. They got it from the DOD. The DOD distributed this. The contract with our federal government requires it to distribute this. The DOD had to ensure that there was absolute immunity. So before we could, if you want to sue someone right now, you're going to have to sue the DOD. Good luck. If you get through them, by proving intentionality, which is very difficult without the data, which they continue to hide. This is why I'm encyclopedic in my knowledge of what occurred, because I've been trying to figure out how to sue these guys, and I have to get the data to prove the intentionality. I will tell you that I think there's a number of claims. I've looked at a RICO claim, which I think I could credibly make. I'll tell you that that claim would cost me $5 to $8 million, my cost to litigate. I don't have $5 to $8 million. And if I didn't have $5 to $8 million, I'd risk sanctions because I'd be bringing a case that I couldn't manage. So there are mechanisms moving forward. Now, before we get to how to get around this, because, I mean, realistically, if the vaccines are safe and effective, why do they need liability shield? I mean, why do we need 50 layers of liability for something that was so safe and so effective? Why is it that we passed law after law after law way before this whole COVID thing was going down to ensure that this sort of liability protection might be in place? And I'm going to answer this because I want to bring something up that hasn't been touched on here. So we have the case in New York. I developed the case. It's against EcoHealth Alliance for the creation of SARS-CoV-2 in the Wuhan lab. That case alleges that EcoHealth Alliance worked with the CCP in the Wuhan lab and created, well, this nightmare that we've had. Let me ask you something. Does anybody in this room believe that we could transfer the technology necessary to do that sort of genetic engineering, that sort of bioweapon development? And I say bioweapon because, remember, dual-use research, under the law, bioweapon, gain of function, two sides of the same coin. Does anybody believe that we transferred that sort of technology to a CCP lab without an okay from the DOD or CIA? I got news for you. They knew exactly what was going on. We have a ton of evidence on this. I'm going to tell you further. I have right here in front of me from a report that we sent to a couple of people here in Congress before the 2022 election. It got about as much response as you guys are getting. There was a study, Dr. Malone could probably comment on this better than I can, but that study showed that there was a 12 nucleotide sequence that they found in a Moderna patent, which was a perfect reverse match to what we have in SARS-CoV-2. That patent was filed in 2016, thanks David Martin for a lot of his patent research. But the thing that I want to tell you about, according to our case, and the data and evidence that we've submitted, we believe that this disease was actually developed in the mid-2010s-ish. We don't have a hard date, but around there. We hope that with discovery, we'll get a more specific date. Now, I want to share something else, and this is speculative, and I was very hesitant to bring this forth, but I'm going to tell you because I have to keep the individual who gave me this data anonymous to protect them. So, I have, and if we can put it up, I want to show you what I've got. This is a declaration from me signing because I cannot have this whistleblower's name anywhere. I witnessed this whistleblower do this. I have a separate declaration, which I will not make public. The whistleblower has brought forth to me, and I'm using whistleblower in a general term, but I have the military records, military medical records from this individual. And they were obtained through a court proceeding. I can't say any more than that, but I will tell you that I will testify under oath. I will put my hand on a Bible and put my license at risk, saying that I can confirm that I've done my due diligence on this, as I would to present this to the court. Now, it would be challenged under the rules of evidence, I'm sure, but I want to share this. And I'm only sharing this so that you, with subpoena power, can ask a question. Scroll down to the next page, please. Do you see what that says? That blacked out page, which we had to black out because of the fact that it was personally identifiable medical information and also would have put the person at risk. Do you see the date there? November 14th at Irwin ACH, Fort Riley, Kansas, COVID-19 immunization, Moderna. Five different instances. And following this page, you'll see five different instances where this person's medical record, you see at the very top, 2014, at Irwin ACH, Fort Riley, Kansas, COVID-19 immunization by Moderna. Now, I'm not suggesting, well, I guess I am suggesting, that maybe we should ask why it is that this soldier was apparently seen five times in 2014 for a COVID-19 immunization. Now, I
can't play it all the way through. Not when I hear that. It's a reminder. 2014.
That's interesting, isn't it?
2014, immunized against COVID? How? Shh. How? All right. Let's continue. Let's get through it, and then, Pack, you can have the mic. Here we go.
No, I'm not going to go out and tell you that this proves that this was built 5-10 years ago or that the timeline was entirely fraud. I'm going to tell you that we ought to look into it. And if we're going to ask questions, we ought to ask real questions. Our DOD and CIA were involved with this. To what extent? How long has this been involved? This was created in a lab in one of the greatest enemies to the United States of America. I'll let you fill in some blanks on the legal implications here. The lies, and remember also, I can't FOIA the DOD. I can't FOIA the CIA. I ain't going to get anywhere with that. You know as well as I do where that's going to go. It's a really interesting thing that the same DOD who I have these records from and who seem to be implicated in numerous other aspects of this and who are willing to take the blame and sign the contracts would have had to sign off on the technology transfers necessary to do this with communist China. I want to ask the question, what's the real history of COVID? You know, the Representative Davidson asked earlier about Operation Warp Speed. Well, maybe that timeline wasn't true. I don't know. I'm not a scientist and cannot say anything other than this is the evidence I have. And this is one small part of it. It's interesting going back over the questions that were asked. You mentioned shedding earlier. Someone asked about shedding. I can show you Pfizer documents where they talk about shedding. I can not only show you Pfizer documents where they talk about shedding, I can show you that in the Comirnaty approval, they agreed to do a study, and the study protocol was based on oncolytic gene products for gene therapy, something, 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 shedding. Okay? They admit their study, you don't run a multi-million-dollar study unless there's a reason for it. Again, Dr. Malone and other experts can talk the value. All I can do is present you guys the evidence, and I've got an immense amount of it. The layers of life.
So there's that, Pack. Okay. So
yeah. One of the things that he said when we talked about David Martin, he said about one of the patents was 2015. But if I remember correctly, the actual patent for the SARS-CoV-2 was in about December of 1999, and that was patented by Fauci. So, you know, they've had that in their labs in America, right? It wasn't done in China. They were done in America, and it wasn't until they were stopping the funding for America is when all of that then got moved. I think that was about 2018 or something, when they were starting to get into trouble for gain of function in America, that they then shipped all of that over to the Wuhan lab. But I may have some years wrong, but that's my recollection of stuff.
So what I have is an understanding that, or a comprehension, I should say, that before I went to Peter Daszak at the University of South Carolina, all right, verified by Dr. David Martin, right, also verified that this virus was in an NIH facility in the state of Montana. Before it went to South Carolina, it was on Montana for one of the sequences. And then it went to Daszak in University of South Carolina, and from there directly to the Wuhan. What Rentz is pointing out, which I find very interesting, very interesting. and you know, I'm way out of my league on this, okay? Way above my head. This is like the little dude sitting at home playing war games and all of a sudden activates World War III. That's a real movie. Watch it. It's a killer. Do you want to play a game? Did the DOD have a deal with Wuhan? That is a very, very concerning question. So I don't know if that's the case or not. I can't prove that. I don't. But it certainly sounds like it. It certainly sounds like it.
Yeah. So
let's all right. Let's
Well, let me blow it out the water with this one. If Jer Bear remembers back when I came on his show one night and I spoke about this guy who is a general that happened to be, he went to college in American College. And what happened was he happened to overhear while standing as a security in that meeting that they were having. What happened was he overheard them speak about performance, and I even showed like some pictures, I think, and shared it. China had took and did like a chemtrail over some, and they had Arabs, Muslims, doctors, lawyers, all of them out in this field, if Jer Bear remembers. And what happened is they sprayed them. They were telling them they were going for some kind of experiment. But what happened was when they got them out there for the experiment in this open field, and they even show them kneeling down in the field. And what happened was when they sprayed them with this stuff, they said their skin was like they were becoming like it was melting off of their bones. And what happened was their inside started bleeding, their intestines inside, their, you know, all of their guts and everything. They started.
How long
like,
ago was it, Two Feathers?
Ooh, that was a couple of years ago, Jer.
Besides, I'm trying to recall what you're saying, but keep going. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, come to find out, this CIA agent or something had, you know, found out about this information that he met this guy in the, that's where we got the mindset of meeting in the fish market. Remember when we all heard of something about them, something that started in the fish market? Well, the CIA agent had bumped into this Chinese guy or something in the fish market, and he said it broke open the case of the serum that he actually had with inside of the case. And he kind of found, like, delved into more information because he knew some insights on that activity that took place in that field. And that's, you know, a lot of findings to the inside of Wuhan that we get. And I think they even mentioned Wuhan in that article that this soldier actually mentioned. So, you know, that plays a big, big part into America. Now, how we have chemtrails today here in America. You know, you got to wonder, what the hell are they spraying us with? Are they literally trying to make us sick? You know, we have to ask that question. And now look what they brought with the COVID jump. You know,
they say I saw an article that if you start all the stuff and ingredients like burritos, cereals, everything that you kind of grew up with, it has stuff in it that Mexico won't let that those other countries won't let them do what they add in to make us sick in this country. You guys believe that? I do.
Well, it's documented. Silent weapons, quiet wars. What is a silent weapon?
Or you can even take your cereal and put it in water, let it float, and then take a magnet, and you'll see that.
Well, you don't even have to put it in water. You just put it in the bag, and you take the magnet at the bottom of the bag and shake it, and you'll draw all that graphene and whatever metal products that are in that cereal to the bottom of the bag on top of that magnet. You could see it. put it out on a piece of paper, go underneath it with just a handful of cereal underneath it, and you can draw metal particulates away from the bulk of the bran. It's true.
Yeah, you're right. Strong enough magnet, you probably could.
Yeah, I've seen it done before. That's why you don't have to depend on a bowl or milk or any kind of water. You can literally, if you go and look at the back of a box of Lucky Charms, by the way, top of the food chain, by the way, our FDA is telling school children that Lucky Charms are more beneficial than steak and eggs.
Who's saying that?
The FDA.
RFJ Jr.?
FDA. Food and Drug Administration.
Oh, see, I don't get mad.
I'm not mad. I just want you to pay attention.
RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr. My bad. I'm keeping up with you.
Keep making left and right turns. I will make you go straight. It's fine.
I will never go straight. I will go forward. But
that's fine, too. I want to play a little four-minute on the matrix we live in. This is a very compelling video. I don't know who this lady is, but she's being interpreted.
Oh, she's what?
She's being interpreted. You're going to get a kick out of this, Jacker. Holy.
No, there's a lady that's over on Rents. Have you seen her?
Could be the same lady. I don't know, but it's a trip. Listen to this.
Yeah, it's the same woman.
The final goal is to eradicate humanity as we know it. Once you understand the final destination, it becomes much easier to look back and identify the psychological conditioning, the biological tampering, the cultural grooming, and the educational prepping that we have been subjected to for decades in preparation to making us accept a post-human future. It takes a lot of physical and psychological abuse to get an intelligent species like ours to agree to its own extinction. Most, if not all, that has transcended in the last 60 years was designed to get us closer to accepting such a dystopian reality. Whether you care to accept it or not, we live in a hyper-controlled matrix where our perception of reality is meticulously planned, managed, and executed in order to control and steer us in whichever direction they wish. And the direction is a post-human world. For this, they first needed to destabilize, dehumanize, and demoralize humanity through every means possible. The destruction of the nuclear family, children being indoctrinated by the state, abortion, the eradication of God and spirituality from education, life in mega cities and away from nature, toxic food, air and water, social media, replacing real human connection and interaction, engineered financial crisis and taxation, endless wars and massive migration, stress, anxiety, depression, drugs and alcohol, constant fear-mongering, moral relativism as the new religion, and I could go on and on about how humanity has been influenced and forced to move away from all the things that give us strength, security, purpose, and meaning. A weak, immoral, disconnected, ignorant, and unhealthy population is an easy target for the next stage, the creation of an entire generation of androgynous beings. Masculinity is under attack psychologically, culturally, and biologically. Women are being replaced in sports, entertainment, and politics by men pretending to be women. And children are being indoctrinated at school to think that gender is a choice. The transgender movement is not a grassroots movement. It comes from the top. It has nothing to do with people's freedom of expression, sexuality, or civil rights. It's an evil psyop with a clear agenda to get us closer to transhumanism by making us question the most fundamental notion of human identity, our gender. If you don't know who you are, If you already identify as a hybrid between a man and a woman, you will be easily convinced to become a hybrid between human and machine. Gender ideology is the 2 + 2 = 5 from George Orwell's 1984 dystopian novel. It's the final test to see whether we will follow the most absurd party line towards our own extinction. But 2 + 2 = 4. And no matter how you choose to dress, call yourself, or change your physique, will not change that. The sad reality, though, is that in the gaslighting process to get us closer to a post-human future, they have mentally and physically harmed an increasing number of children and young people, and it's only getting worse. This must be stopped.
So I don't know if she said anything that was inaccurate.
Right. Well, the thing is, we all were able to watch the video of it. A very beautiful woman, but she had the whole audience, hundreds of people, nobody looking down at their phones. Some people's mouths were open. You could heard a pin drop. Everybody was just completely enthralled with what she was saying. But yeah, that was very well done. In fact, Mechanic, I had that clip lined up. I was going to play. If you want to see the clip, if you go to Rents at the top of the page.
Now we don't need to do that. If you want to see the clip, you go to The Mechanic 1776 on Twitter. If you want to see the clip, it's in my lineup. All right, moving on, man. We're right up against the hour here. We're going to be going into the break, into the green room. But yes, pay attention, folks. You are living in a world full of lies. Literally, every part of your history, your education, your upbringing, the marriage, the ring, marijuana, cannabis, education, college, the political sphere, all of it has been a lie. 100%. I don't hear the break, Mr. Rowe.
So that's a 1771 Mechanic?
1776. Into the green room we go. We'll see everybody here in about 5 minutes.
Sexual. You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. sing a song, talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no! Step on into the secret kindergarten, Saturdays 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show. Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And welcome back to hour number two here at the High Council. We just got some breaking news, and it looks like this is going on in Washington, D.C., not Sacramento, not San Francisco. This looks like insurrection to me, but they won't be filed. They're probably Hamas supporters, so they won't be charged with insurrection because Hamas supporters can walk into the state capitol with their flags, and it's all good, you know. Well, so yeah, D.C. is under attack right now by a bunch of stooges. So they've locked down the capitol. Let's go back. You got some news on that, Big D? You got an actual news link?
Well, no, it's got to be about the only thing that stirred up the whole world like it has. In which yeah,
it's got to be Palestine, the whole Palestine thing.
Yeah, the first time ever worldwide protest. And it doesn't matter if it's in the Philippines, wherever. But there's something about human being watching, you know, whole families get buried alive in apartment buildings that really drives us crazy. But that has to be what it's about. People are just the insanity of what's going on. I mean, carpet bombing, that's like, wow. So that's got to be what it's about.
Okay.
Is that what it is? Do you see Palestine anywhere in there?
I didn't see any signs or anything. It just looks like there's a breakup going down. So I don't know, Big D. We'll have to see what's going down. Currently, right now, D.C. is locked down. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why they need to lock it down though. All right. Very interesting. Let's get back to the feed. I got a little Hunter Biden here. Hunter Biden. He's never going to see any jail time. He will never see any jail time. So don't get your hopes up. Let's see. I got a couple more clips down here. Oh yeah. This is a very interesting clip right here. And once you pay close attention to this video, I'll put this video in chat as well. It's a small clip, but you guys on the panel, I want you to look at the hands of the dude to the left of the speaker. Very important. But I dropped this in Matrix. Jim Jones, how you doing? Gear Jammer, I see Jer Bear's also in Matrix. Knox Merritt, Casey Sledge, how you doing? I see Zoe up in there. Big D, hey, listen, man, you got an actual, any kind of article for that? Sit you down in D.C.? Let me know. I have to read it. All right, so back to this.
So is this lockdown in real time right now?
It happened sometime today. So I don't know. We'll get some more information on it. But here's some more breaking news. This happened a couple of days ago. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this. So maybe it's not breaking. But
is that the one Jim Jones put in chat, Trump lawyer?
No, that's a different one. Trump lawyer is a different one. Here we go.
Earlier today, three individuals were arrested and charged in federal court with operating a sophisticated high-end brothels in Cambridge, in Watertown, and in Eastern Virginia.
Okay. So, this is the DOJ, and they're about to brag on how they busted a sex ring. And they arrested doctors, lawyers, nurses, celebrities, politicians, police officers, sheriff's deputies, all this crap, right? High-end, elite status individuals, right? Well, problem is, no names. He never drops a name, and neither does the report.
Yeah.
We don't know what's
happening. Where's the list of names?
Yeah, where's the names? This is bullshit. Listen to this.
These establishments were allegedly promoted through two different websites, BostonTop10.com and BrownEyesGirlsVA.blog. The three individuals behind these websites facilitated the movement of predominantly Asian women across the United States for sex trafficking and a commercial sex ring, exploiting them in the process. This commercial sex ring was built on secrecy and exclusivity, catering to a wealthy and well-connected clientele. And business was booming until today. It's alleged that the prospective sex buyers in this scheme first had to respond to a survey and provide information online, including their driver's license photos, their employer information, credit card information, and they often paid a monthly fee to be part of this illicit club. The affidavit that's unsealed in court today alleges that once the buyers were verified, they were then texted and allowed to place orders with commercial sex workers. They would choose the duration of this encounter they wanted, the types of services they wanted, and they also would receive a menu of different options and different women that they could purchase. Sometimes at rates between $350 and $600 an hour. The menu included photographs of the various women who were available that day.
So, I don't buy any of it. I think there might have been a little struggle, a little back and forth. I think some high-level individuals got busted and arrested, and they have to tell us that. But they don't got to tell us anything else.
Well, I know what it is now. This is a blackmailing ring. This is another.
I agree.
Jeffrey Epstein minor, except he does the Asian women stuff.
This
they got everybody's names, and they're basically telling them this is what you're going to do. They're going through each name, finding out who they are, what kind of connections they got. What they want out of them.
But no, Jacko, what I'm saying is they already have it. They already have it. Didn't you hear them? Right here. Let's go back. Right here.
Across the United States for sex trafficking and a commercial sex ring, exploiting them in the process. This commercial sex ring was built on secrecy and exclusivity, catering to a wealthy and well-connected clientele. And business was booming until today.
Okay, listen to this next statement. Business was booming until today. Sure thing, pal. They're going to talk about what the enrollment was for this club. They know exactly who was in it. Listen.
It's alleged that the prospective sex buyers in this scheme first had to respond to a survey and provide information online, including their driver's license photos.
Driver's license photo.
Their employer information.
Where do you work?
Credit card information.
Credit card. Where are you spending your money? Whose name's on the card?
And they often paid a monthly fee to be part of this illicit club.
A membership fee.
The affidavit that's unsealed in court today alleges that once the buyers were verified, they were then texted and allowed to place orders.
You're going to tell me they don't know who these people are? They don't know names?
No, they know them all. What I'm saying is
they know.
He just said that it was an unsealed list of names in court today.
Unsealed. That means that they can list it to the public and no laws will be broken. That means it's been unsealed. That means it's public information. Why isn't he saying the names, Jacker?
I don't think you can get the names.
No, okay. God damn it.
He probably doesn't want to be shot by that fellow beside him.
Okay. Yeah, right? The fellow with the Freemason symbolism? Yeah. Jacker.
That one.
Jacker, the part you failed to hear was that it was unsealed in court.
Well, he can say that all he wants, but where's the list of names?
Oh, they have the list. That's what I'm saying. That's my question. Why
if it's
aren't
unsealed,
they? If it's unsealed in court, that makes it public information.
And so where's it at?
This is the DOJ. They're not releasing it. And you've got some dude with his hand symbols to the left of this cat staring at every word he says, looking over his shoulder at the speech. Look at him. He's looking at the podium. Who is the guy to his left? What is this? What are we watching here? We're in a kangaroo court country ran by buffoons under the big top. Still, I have managed to find myself in a town. Unbelievable. I find myself in a town where not just the average person, but the majority of the town does not see the problems we are facing. They're not talking about the vaccines. No correlations between the deaths that's taking place in this town. Every week now, another obituary in the paper now. We're losing one person, two person a week now. No one's having the conversation, nothing. All they want to do is bash me for my efforts to shut down the water district from testing our poop. I'm not going to get into that conversation.
Are you saying that, Mechanic, are you saying that two or three, how many people a week or a month? Are they COVID?
One to two obituaries in the paper every week now in my small little town. So I can only imagine what this looks like in like Los Angeles. There's got to be probably two dozen obituaries a day.
But not just related to COVID, just everything is everything. I got you.
No, it's obituaries, people dying. And most of the deaths now in America, all-cause mortalities in America, under 25, 18 to 26, represents the highest number of all-cause mortality in the United States. That means like random deaths, just deaths in general. They're not going to do it. We're never going to hear it. Even if it's pushed in, even if it's won in court, I don't believe we will ever hear the truth in our current media. Ever, 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 ever. They don't have a job to the truth. They don't have an obligation to the truth. They're not hired to tell the truth. So, in fact, if they were to ever slip up and tell us the truth on mainstream news, they would be in breach of contract because their obligations are in direct opposition of the truth. Every narrative, a lie. If they had a contract to give the truth, then they would be giving it. It's not the case. They have a contract to deliver the narrative, whatever the narrative may be, whatever it may come of. Their contract is to lie to you. And the social contract, I believe, throughout all agencies that are here on the surface to represent the safety of American citizens. The social contract has been violated. Not just violated like, he slipped up, he made a mistake, we apologize, here's a check, we'll do some retraining. No. The type of misrepresentation that's going on now, it's not that we lack representation. You guys can jump in anytime. It's not that we lack representation. It's that the representation that we do have is going against us, specifically in ways where the average citizen doesn't have the discernment. They don't have the visual, mental, cognitive abilities to decipher truth from fiction.
I see your narrative, and I will add to your narrative with a script. Go ahead.
You got a script, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Looks like I got more information on the Capitol Police. So, breaking, Capitol Police are now in riot gear as all members inside the Democratic National Committee headquarters have been evacuated during a private event. Authorities are advising everyone to stay away from the area due to violent protests. Sounds like bullshit to me. Let's go to Twitter. Here we are, breaking, Capitol Police now in riot gear. Yeah, well, it definitely looks like a tense situation, eh?
Yeah, do you see any Palestinian flag? Yeah, I think I see one. Is that a Palestinian flag?
I'm trying to stop it on the back of the shirt here. Let's see if I can get that shirt in the text. Let's see. What does that say? Tase the what? I can't stop the fit. Okay. It won't stop. Watch. It just goes back to the play. Oh, here we go.
Well, that's like my computer. My computer acts like this. I can't control
it. What does it say?
Free the POW?
Tase the... And I missed that last one.
I think it's
we're looking at a video, ladies and gentlemen. I'm slowing down the video as best I can here to try to catch what's written. Jews. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Jews sat.
Say, S-A-Y.
Jews say.
You say yes. And I say no, and you say stop, and I say go.
Right there.
I don't know what he's trying to say. I don't know what these people are doing.
It should be breaking news somewhere. Somebody should be able to.
And that one says something different.
That says free the POWs.
No, it doesn't say. It says now. Tase. Is that Jew? No, I can't be Jew.
No. It's old W.
It's Tase, T-A-S-E, something now. I can't figure what this is. Let's see if they got better pictures down here. On my feed, I'm trying to find what they're talking about here, and I'm not seeing it. These are just ridiculous memes.
Sucks.
It just looks like there's a bunch of shenanigans going down there. I don't know what to make of this. Authorities are advising everyone to stay away. These cops are definitely not. I mean, this could be garbage, too. There's a cameraman on the van right there. You see the cameraman right there? See, boom. Look at that. Is that a studio shot? Is that a crane? Are you kidding me right now? Look at this right here. Look at it to the right. On the top, up of the right, like 1 o'clock. What do you see there?
Is that a car?
Right here. This guy taking pictures.
Yeah, look to the left of where he's from. Looks like a car up there. See the car? Is that G-Ping's car?
Yeah, right. G-Ping is in San Francisco. He's not in Washington, D.C. All right, well, there's that. It's a satisfying time to be alive. I mean, I'm not in complete I don't feel that we're headed for total Armageddon because I don't believe that we are looking at biblical times. I believe what we're looking at are manufactured biblical times. You take the most knowledgeable Christian, okay? In my view, right now, any one of those knowledgeable Christians that think that this is out of the Bible is missing some pertinent facts that simply are not reflected in the Bible. Jacker, you mentioned the gas deposits found in just off the shore of Gaza that belong to the Palestinian people. Okay, that's not in the Bible. You talk about
Actually, it talks about Israel's foot is dipped in oil from wells, something like that. But no, the big problem we got right now. And a lot of Christians got a problem.
I'm asking you a question, Jacker. Do you think this is biblical, these times? Because it doesn't appear to be that way. We know they want to open the canal. We know they want to blow up and create a two-way canal for commerce. We know that's on the agenda. We know there's genocide taking place. The Jews hate Muslims. Muslims hate Jews and Christians. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you got the thing like we can have the mark of the beast worldwide now. And you got the people that say they're Jews, but they're not. So you got a lot of stuff. But the biggest problem is what are we going to do with all these old maps? I'm talking about from the 12th century forward. And what are we going to do about the mud flood, these mud flooded buildings, and these photographs of all these empty cities, and these cities themselves, these Tartarian type of structures all over the world?
How many years do you think they robbed from human history?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
How many years? Are we behind? Are we behind in common knowledge by more than 100 years? 200
yes.
years?
I reckon between 800 and 1,000 years that they've taken office.
Yeah,
I've heard this before. They buried 1,000 years. I mean, it makes sense. There's a bunch of black and white circling social media right now that show these entire new cities. And I'm talking about in complete contrast, total opposition, and on the other side of the moon to what was built in these mud floods, the kind of artisan craftsmanship that was put together in these buildings under the mud. And then you take a look at modern architecture. It's garbage. Why did we go backwards? Why are we going backwards with our technology?
And then you got all the buildings that they destroyed during all these world fairs. Yeah. But yeah. Think about this. Think about the crystal, that crystal tower that could hold 300,000 people. The biggest stadium that we have in the world, I think, can maybe hold 100,000. Most of them are about 80,000. And yet we have pictures of this building that's all glass. Everything's glass. I mean, it's got a steel frame holding the whole thing up. But
we've been joined by Deacon John. Hey,
300,000 people, and they destroyed it. Why? Why would they do that?
Deacon, you got answers?
Hi, good evening. How's everybody doing today?
Welcome.
How you feeling, Deacon?
Hey, guys. Doing better. Thank you for your thoughts. Appreciate it. Home and feeling much better now. I think the Democrat honey orcs are out tonight. And who are the Democrat slaves of politically? Well, the Zionists, the Jewish folk, right? So I think the Palestinians are sending the Democrat politicians a little up your rear without Vaseline tonight. Huh, John Jacker? What do you think about that?
That's what I was looking for, to see if it was Palestinian flags or anything like that. I thought I saw a Lebanese flag.
Reportedly, these are Republicans at the door of the DNC.
Oh, bullshit.
I think that's bullshit, too.
The other thing is, Hijacker, you're right about these dead. Have you seen the pictures of the dead monsters all over the different planets? The Tim Cohen.
I saw one today. I saw a video of one that looks like a dragon. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, Tim Cohen, he's the guy who does the biblical scholarship on Antichrist. He's got a whole new book he's written. He got all these pictures right from NASA. He says that these Nephilim back, I guess what you're talking about, these giant structures, they created these Shimura things, these monsters, these dinosaurs out of their DNA. And God said that, that wasn't allowed. So according to him, God came through and flash flooded everything. That's where you have all the dinosaurs killed in an instant on our planet. And they're all over the moon. Their heads are sticking out. They're fossils and all the planets and stuff. And apparently some of the planets were just like this. God had been seeding them with human beings when this happened. So I don't know that, but those structures with those big giants lines up with what he's saying about those dinosaur fossils, how big they are.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Anything out of NASA is suspect to me. I just can't believe them anymore. Just unbelievable. Oh, listen, I'll be right back. I gotta do something real quick. I'll be back.
I heard something like a while back that dinosaurs are not actually dinosaurs. What they've hidden from us is dragons. Because dragons were a real thing, not just, you know, a fantasy or a story.
Do you know that there are reported official statements of witnesses in Yosemite, pterodactyls have been spotted. And here's the thing. There's a spotting of a pterodactyl, and then like a day or two later, there's a report of a missing person from Yosemite. They are in correlation with each other for several years now. It's a very weird thing. Pterodactyls in Yosemite?
Yeah. Well, there was a picture that was going around ages ago of one during the Civil War that somebody had, found. There was a photo of it.
We've been lied. We've been lied to as an entire human race. It's not just in America. They've been kind of digging in their heels and their hooks in the fight against humanity, not for it. And these are the same people who we're fighting right now, ladies and gentlemen. This enemy is kind of invisible right now. We can pinpoint some of the surface enemies, Antifa, fascism. The politicians, some of the police department, the training, this and that. But our real enemy isn't before us, not standing before us. But it is the same enemy. The same people we're dealing with right now are the same people that killed Kennedy. They're the same people that got us in Vietnam. Same people that took us to Korea. Same people that put the coup together in North Korea. They're the same people. Same organizations.
Okay, something that somebody else shared to me today was, on the U.S. flag, there are 13 stripes, representing the 13 bloodlines who rule over this realm. They are descendants of Cain. And who was Cain's father? The prince and serpent.
About the Canaanites?
Yeah.
It would surprise me if, the Bush, Clinton, Rodham families were not all Canaanites. It would make perfect sense that they have a bloodline directly related to Canaanites. Now, that's separate from reptilians. Who are the reptilians? Is that the kind of Obama bloodline? Because I know that there's a hyper relationship between the Bushes and the Obamas that stems back to Obama's childhood. Grandpa Bush, not Prescott Bush, but George H.W. Bush, used to give candies to Barack Obama and Michael LaVon Robinson, Big Mike, when they were kids. There's a long line here. Is that the reptile line, the Obama side of this? Is that the reptile? You know, Garland looks a bit like a reptile, like he could be a reptile, you know. But you take a look at Mayorkas, he's probably more of the Rodham Clinton establishment. I think we've just been infiltrated so many times over and over again, Deacon. I don't even know to go and point all these people out, but I am thrilled to be I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to be alive. I'm absolutely convinced that these are the types of times that, you know, when you're sitting in school and you're a young man, you're 15, and you're reading, if you happen to get lucky enough anyways, and you read a real history book with authentic timelines, resource data, sources backing and confirming all the actions and events that took place, a real history book. And if you happen to get arrested and you read one of those, what was that, Pac?
I was going to say, another thing that I was sort of looking at today is something that somebody else had brought up to me that she had seen like a couple of years ago, and somebody else was talking about it today, was about blood groups, our blood. And a lot of these people that are still free thinkers. No, that's actually mine.
Sorry.
We've been led to, like, you know how the blood groups have the negative and the positive.
Be quiet, puppies.
That the negative means that we don't have any bad things in our blood, right? We don't have any attitudes, right?
You know what the sweater said?
Hey?
We just found out what the sweater said. Go ahead, finish your statement, Pat.
Okay. Yeah. The negative blood means that we don't have any of the nanoparticles and the pathogens and the other sort of like things, the antigens, whatever it was, I can't remember. But just today I've just spoken to two people, right?
Be quiet, puppies.
And found out that the three of us who are truth tellers, A, O, negative blood. So I'm just wondering if, like, and like, these are people, you know, in other parts of the world that have, you know, got to know in these last couple of years, but it would be interesting to see who are O, negative blood. That's on the panel, but you don't have to tell me. That I'm just, you know, it's just putting it out there. But
I
it would be interesting what those people's bloodlines are, like the Bushes and whatever, because if they keep the same, you know, marrying and all the rest of them, what is their, do they have that so-called rare blood? And we just have the so-called common blood, which happens to be the pure blood that probably goes all the way up to Adam.
That's the thinking.
Yeah.
In other words, the Rh negative supposedly is 15% of the population has got the Rh negative. It's heavy in white people, Caucasians. So, and there does seem to be a whole lot more of these Caucasians. Now, I'm not just talking about the Jews that got these particular Nephilim-type bloodline traits.
I'm not talking about Nephilims, right? So that would have the O negative. So I would assume that they would have one of the rarer bloods, which would be a positive. But I haven't finished, doing my research into this yet.
Well, no, O blood is that's universal. Those are universal donors. I'm one of those. I'm O positive.
So you're O positive.
If you're O positive, means you can donate blood to like AB negative, AB positive.
Everybody, yeah.
Huh.
That's the universal blood. Just look it up. There's, I think, O negative is universal. I think O positive is universal.
Yeah, the O's are, yeah.
And then there's one other one that's universal. And then you there's some blood that you can't. In fact, why you take a test when you get married, one of the things they want to know before they give you a marriage license is what type of blood does each person have? Because if you have a certain type blood, then you either can't have a child or the chances that the child will be deformed or something. Although I think they got or the sperm will be rejected, something like that. There's something about yeah. There's something.
But Jacker, you give the COVID people a chance to live.
Well, I mean, I had nothing to do with it.
No, I'm just saying, you give the COVID people, at least they got some pure blood that they could give from somebody that's got the, who can give to anybody. So you can give to the COVID people. You will save their life, Jacker. You will be
yeah,
their hero.
Like...
Well, you know, I actually thought for a second, I says, you know, with all this craziness going on, like I could be like a blood and a sperm donator, you know? And so for a second I thought, yeah, I got my blood's not messed up. I don't have drugs in it or anything else. And then I looked up the sperm and then I realized, wow, that's what you gotta be. That's what you gotta do to be a sperm donator. I says, I think I'll pass on that.
Fantastic information. We've been joined by Harry. Harry, how you doing?
I'm good. I just had to close down the radio. Yeah.
So the problem is the maps and the buildings, the Tartarian type
of... Harry, did you have something to offer real quick, or did you have a comment to make?
You were talking about the roping or the pterodactyls before.
Yeah, with the missing persons story to follow, uh-huh.
Yeah. I lived in a house, share house in Adelaide with a couple of uni students and back in 2008. And one of the girls was a Papua New Guinean girl from the highlands. And her father was like the minister for the treasury at the time. And but her job over there when she used to do a job was poaching, catch poachers, I mean, you know, going in and getting all the birds of paradise and all other things and from Indonesia they were going in. Anyway, but she told me up in the highlands where she's from a few things, but one of the things she told me was that they call them demon birds or devil birds. And they live in the caves up in the high cliffs of the mountains in the highlands. And they come out during the day, but they sweep down and take children, animal, pigs, anything, you know, they can get their little clutches on and fly off again, never to be seen again. And the other thing she said about these birds, these demon devil birds, was their eyes glow red at night, which I found interesting.
This story.
Well, I've actually seen footage of them. I saw there was people, there were tourists, and they were in Hawaii. And the 12 or 15-year-old girl.
In Hawaii, okay.
Yeah, the 12 or 15-year-old girl says, you know, she was using her camera, and somehow she was filming it. And she says, Dad, what kind of bird is that? I guess she was closer to 12 or something. And so then the dad takes the camera and looks up, and he goes, well, what is that? And he's looking at it, and as he zooms in and you can see it, it's a damn pterodactyl flying over the open ocean. And so other people have speculated that one of the reasons we don't see more of them is, number one, like you said, they are a night bird, but also when they do their hunting, they hunt in the open ocean, and they can actually go down and snatch up dolphins and, you know, fish that are close to the surface. Just sort of like an eagle picking up a salmon out of a stream. Then that's their...
A pterodactyl night bird, are they? I never knew that.
Well, they do come out at night, apparently. So, That's when they do, their eyes glow red. So they must have some sort of infrared thing going on or something. I don't know. But the thing is, with all this history of the world stuff you were talking about before, is it's clearly evident for these zero cryptology beings and all these dinosaurs, Inca stones, you know, that Klaus Donner talks about and others talk about, and about place artifacts and the timelines. Obviously, the remnant has been left behind of all types of things. And the story that we've been told, the pan creation theory, whatever it's called, the panspermia thing, does not include the Vedics, the Sumerian texts, all the stuff that for thousands of years people have talked about or had records of, that equate to a paradise on Earth before a great fall, and then remnants left to go out and retrieve all the knowledge and treasures and store them in places like the Vatican or the Library of Alexandria. You know, all those sort of things come from a time or a period that didn't happen that long ago, actually. And we've been conned into this Darwinistic theory, you know. It was just a journal we wrote in. He just speculated, and before his death, he said, you know, it's just a idea. It's not, don't take it as science or anything, but we have. And that has taken the diversion and the focus of all the people who've been educated since that time to look at life being a linear cycle, and that we're the only things important, you know, in the universe, and that's it. Like, come on, you know, wake up, people.
Well, you know, when my sons were looking around, you know, for a piece of property, we were in Edmonds, and we looked at this one building. If you know how Western Washington is, it's like these sloped hills, so to speak. But then anyways, this particular property was on a hill that we looked at. And anyways, we went in it. We went five levels down, five basements to this thing. And then it came out, and then they had put a garage as you got to the last basement, you went through a door, opened up to a two-car garage, and then it had a way to go out. And anyways, we walked out and we realized, wow, we walked down, we came down this hill, and I thought, I didn't think of it at the time, but I thought of it later. And I actually started looking at the lay of the land, and I actually believe that, like Mr. Rowe in San Francisco, that if you were to keep digging down in some of these places, some of these old stone homes, some of the older pieces of property, if you were to keep digging, especially if you're up on a mound or something like that, I think you'll actually break into chambers of, like, Seattle has like a 25 square block underground, a whole city, in which they said, oh, we had to build up over it. Because I forgot what the reason, they came up with some stupid reason why they had to, this is why we had to raise the elevation of the street by 18 feet. Well, if you only knew how much tonnage of, you know, soil and rock it would take to do that for like a 25 square block area. And that's just what they got dug out. And it was a Seattle underground tour you can take. But yeah, I do think there's treasures. I mean, if I had to do it over again, I was a young man, and I knew what I now know about the Tartarian, I'd be looking around for one of these old buildings or maybe one of these old places where something's out of whack, or maybe you see bricks coming out of a side of a hill or whatever, and buy the property and start digging. And I'm sure people have dug into some of these old buildings, and they've dug down. And they've opened up and they realize, wow, this is where somebody stored their jewelry or their gold. And they found treasures, old swords, who knows what kind of artifacts. In fact, I ran into one guy One time I was thrown in jail for another letter. It was in Tallahassee. And I was basically in the first 24 hours, you know, you get thrown together sort of in a like a holding cell or whatever. But this was over the weekend. And he was actually wanted, and he was picked up on a warrant out of Illinois or Nebraska. It was somewhere in the middle West. And I said, well, what were you in for? He goes, I got a warrant for taking. And what his crime was is that he dug into these mounds like in the Midwest or whatever. And I like on Indian reservations. And he says, I'm wanted on artifacts, stealing artifacts. And I says, what do you mean? Like Indian bones or like, you know, pottery, like this and that. And he says, well, it's a lot more to it than that, but I'm not going to go into it. But yeah, basically stealing Indian artifacts. And, now I'm able to put two and two together and realize, wow, this is one of the guys that figured out, right? If Mr. Rowe only knew, 30 feet below Mr. Rowe's feet is a big pile of gold. And he doesn't even know it. All he's got to do is just dig down. But anyways, it's got to be something like that. We've seen too many photographs of partially buried buildings, you know, windows that look like they've been mud flooded, starts off with a little slit. And then as the window goes down, the building goes down, more and more of the windows show up. And people don't build buildings like that. There's just like, then you'll see other places in London, Paris, in which you got street level. And then what they've done is they've dug down in this old building and they were able to actually put a bookstore. So you actually walk down a flight of steps. And if you just take a look at any of the footage, doesn't matter if it's Greece, you know, Cyprus, Prague, just the buildings aren't right. The street level's not right. Something's not right about it. And then once you get into the old paintings and the old photographs, you know, that's what I'm saying. We got a problem. We got a problem both with the maps and with the architecture and the mud flood. So, you know, how do we know any of this history? I mean, what are all these maps of where California was an island until 1742? In which Ferdinand basically writing the English king and queens and basically saying, look, California's a part of America. We're in this game too. It's not all about you French and English. We may be on the other side in California, but we're in the game. So what is that? So, and then the very nature of the buildings, what do we have in a Greek Parthenage or Roman Parthenage type building, the building of the gods with the pyramids. I mean the towers and the way the buildings built are Greco-Roman, and then you go to someplace like Nashville, Tennessee, building just like that. You go to Japan, that's their diet. What is it, the same guy, the same architecture guy? He built the one in Rome, and then he went to Nashville, and then he built another one, and then he went over to Japan, and then he built a replica. So that's what I'm saying. That's the conundrum. And so now everything's calling the question. Anybody else? Go ahead.
The thing is that it's catching up. Everyone's got to realize that we've been all lied to, which we do, but where's the truth? Where's the evidence to back it up? You know, what, and which way is forward? You know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're about to get us, throw us into a war. So, and it does look like it's going to be war. It looks like there's nothing going to be stopping it. You know, I tried to shame the Muslims. And yeah. The Arabs.
They didn't reach out to you? They didn't bring you into the fold, Jacker? The Muslims?
No, I tried to get the great and mighty warrior, King of Mother Russia.
You probably eat too much pork.
To transplant to solve the Palestinian problem. When all those Arabs and those Muslims are right there, they could cut this Palestinian people out of kingdom.
If what I know is true, if what I know to be true is actually true, sorry, I'll rephrase it, that according to the Quran, if you're not in their religion, if you're not in their culture, and you have not taken Muhammad as your God, then you are what they consider an infidel.
Right.
And if that is the case, and this is everything I just said is factual, and that is truly how Muslims see the average Christian or Anglo-Saxon individual, or even Black American, it doesn't matter. If you're not inside the Muslim religion, because anything outside of it, they are free to kill, rape, torture, abandon, sodomize, brutalize, stone.
Habibullah.
According to their religion.
There's rules. Like,
for instance, I'm an infidel, Jacker, and it means I'm a dead man walking in the eyes of Islam.
No, Islam, they recognize they recognize the people of the book, both Jews and Christians.
Actually, I was busking around Easter time a few years ago now, and I saw some Muslim clerics, you know, in their little hats and their little cuffy stuff they wear, and it was Easter time, and I yelled out to them, "Happy hopping Ramadan," because it was Easter time as well, Ramadan, and they came over and had a chat with me, and they were very, you know, pleasant young fellows, and they invited me back to their place down from Sydney and to the Clara, whatever it's called, and had lunch with them and stuff, and I talked to them about, you know, what I've been researching and things, and they go, you know, Muslim only means, you know, the way of God or the son of God or a follower of God is you're a Muslim to us, you know. And then I said, actually, my Islamic name is Hassan Ali Habibullah because my father converted Islam in the desert in Mount Isa with no mosque, 1,000 kilometers from the coast, and gave me a name as well and wanted to send me to Medina for studies when I was 16 because it was free university education.
Yeah.
And
Harry, it's good to say hi to you, brother.
Hey, Jimmy, good to hear from you. I've listened to you occasionally. From time to time, it's good to hear you're still alive and kicking and boo-boos.
I'm going to give it up soon. I don't know. I need a backup. I need a running partner. But anyway, it's good to say hello to you. And I see you skipping around now and then. How's the jamming? Are you still doing that for on the side?
Busking,
yeah.
Nah. I live in a very rural place. Of about 600.
Yeah, on the boonies. We used to call it the boonies, right, Deacon? Anyway, hello, Harry. Good to see you. God bless. How far back do we go, bro?
Usually to the armchair they're sitting on.
Yeah, man, that's a pretty good one. That's a good one. What, 10 years? I don't know, but it's good to hear from you, brother, man.
Yeah, you too.
The thing about the Muslims, I believe that, like our Bibles, they have been changed and manipulated because, you know, there are the extremists that want to chop our heads off.
Constantine did that in the 200, whenever Constantine was the bishop or something. He went into the Bible and added and tore a lot of shit out. He had all these guys help him. In his castle, wherever he was.
Yeah, out of the 2,000 or 4,000, whatever it was, scribes that they summoned together, all the different things, they shuffled it down to, 200, I think, and got rid of the rest, and then formulated it out of that. But with Islam, it was an invention of the Catholic Church, because Muhammad was a traitor.
He was a bishop. He was like a bishop, and then they they did their, the Catholic Church did their thing with him.
And no, he was illiterate. He couldn't write, but he got this woman who was a Catholic. She was 15 years older than he was.
How old was he when he met her?
Like 25. She was 40.
And they lived a long
time. And she's the one. And then he said that he was getting these visions and meeting these angels in this cave. If you actually read the Quran, it's really hard to read. It's almost unreadable the way it's written. But when you really start to break things down, like I think Muhammad's second wife, she was given to him when she was 6, but he didn't consummate the marriage until she was 9 years old when he said that she could take the
wife. Happy to be an infidel.
Right.
Anyone else happy to be an infidel? I'm happy to be an infidel right here. Don't care.
I'm really wondering these mosques.
Happy to be an infidel. You're in my country. You can assimilate or you can get the fuck out. Period.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for a reason. Yeah, and the New York, go ahead. You know what, Pac? I'll give you the mic in just 1 second. The New York Journal right now. Hey, Ro, can we skip the break? The New York Journal right now has an article up suggesting that the West somehow is obligated to take Palestinians into our country. So that I have the vision correct. Israel won't take them. Egypt hates them. Jordan hates them. No Arab nation wants them, but send them to the UK and the United States? Yeah. Hell no. Hell no. Something's got to happen. And if we need to bring back 5,000 miles worth of Minutemen to the border because our own federal government won't furnish or fulfill its obligation to protect the border of this country, then that's what we need to do. Sign me up, Minutemen. What's up? Where are we at? I'll take an application.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the thing about we've been led down the path that the Muslims are all bad people, and yet there are Christians who have been living beside the Muslims in Palestine for thousands of years without any problems. You know, there's Catholic churches.
We're going into the green room. Unfortunately, people really heard me. So, hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
secret kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
We're in a narco-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
I think JB was going to try.
There it is. There it is. There it is, mechanic. All you, baby.
I can't see them.
Mechanic's on mute.
Okay, it looks like the
we are back on the air, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your patience. We do appreciate it. Some technical difficulties there, but we have managed to make it happen. So I think we were going to give the mic over to Harry. Some very interesting relationships. Shall we? Go ahead, Harry. The mic's all yours.
Okay. Thanks. I was just trying to find this Peter Lavender documentary or report he's done, which he highlights the fact that the Orthodox Roman Catholic Church in America, American Orthodox Roman Catholic Church, I should say, is basically a blend or a front for black ops Jesuits and CIA and FBI, people to do all sorts of crazy stuff. Let's see. I'm trying to find it. I'll see if I can. That's about all I can talk about at the moment because it goes into it names names and tells people, shows you all the people involved. But I'll try and find it because it's going to be very interesting information. Because I think all of us, are born with this, open sort of naivety to believe what we're told, and when we sort of snap out of it, we realize how deep the rabbit hole goes. It goes like just in so many aspects of our society and culture that would just, you know, it spins your head to try to catch up to try and get you, you know, get some context around it all. But this is what we're dealing with. This is people like Peter Lavender, you know, tell it from his professional or experiential point of view. So, anyway, that's all I've got to say for the moment. So if you want to talk about something else, I'll find it and I can bring it in or something at a later stage. And also, too, about the why do you think that the Islam was invented by the Roman Catholic Church? And from, you know, even the wars in Iraq, it replicates the same sort of thing. All they are after is the artifacts and the knowledge of the hidden stuff to spread the network through that religion to, you know, the Arabic world, to find the information they needed to go and retrieve the things that they were after. Because knowledge is power, as they say, you know, and it's true, but it's the people who actually have it, really have it, it's corruptible. It's very corruptible, of course, obviously, because they don't want to share it. But we can figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. It's there's so much knowledge out there, but if we don't use our discernment and our instincts, which, you know, were given to us from God, then, you know, from the creator, that God, not these other gods, then that we feel the knowledge. We feel it. We know when something is true. Even if we never heard about it before, when we see something or we feel something, or something is said to us, we know it's true because of the knowledge that has always been in us. And as for the Muslims, like, we've had Muslims in this country for a couple of hundred years. You know, they all came over early. So, you know, that's a misconception. You know, the programming that's happened, that the Muslims are the bad guys. This is like Hamas. That was formed by Israel. So all of these so-called terrorist groups, they're all formed by, you know, the CIA and, you know, Zionists and whatever to cause problems and divide us.
What was the one they used to, that we were always saying that was out there? The American, and also the pineal gland. If we could heal our pineal glands more and get them stimulated, we could activate a better conscious world.
Exactly. Yeah. So don't go having that test up your nose or anything else like that. Clear your sinuses and your brain can work real well.
Everything they give us, and we, the oxygen, the water, what we get to eat, they calcified our pineal glands, and that's a big thing right now, to try to activate and get open it up and get all that calcium off of it. It's like the smallest gland in your brain.
Do some fighting with some Celtic sea salt and
I got a hold of this Dr. Sebi's website. And so I sent him an email. I haven't checked to see if I've heard from them back, but I was questioning some of the things they have for, I was looking into things for neuropathy, and I was looking for things in the urine tract, and they've got some shit. So I'll probably try to make an order. But I haven't checked my emails. I've been offline. But that'd be bitching. I believe Dr. Sebi believed things we got to eat are more alkaline, is what they teach. And it clears a lot of stuff up. They give everything we eat is opposite, is opposite of alkaline. It's acidic. And that's what messes us up. That's just a thought that I've read about. Where you guys take it from there, forget about it. I don't know. Boo's snoring again. So I got her to snore.
Snore? Okay. I mean, I got content. I got places where we can go. I got things that we can discuss. I was just letting the round table kind of organically maybe accelerate. But did we lose a couple people? We got Hijacker still with us. We got Harry. We got Jared Bear, Two Feathers. Sergeant Miller's got a link. Deacon John, you still with us out there in the mist?
Pack's here.
Pack is here as well. I am. Always good to have a biological female in the room. We're blessed. They're under attack. So, you know, every day.
You guys want to hear a real story? So I'm going down to get my CAT scan right in the hospital here.
When? Just recently?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, recently?
Yesterday. Yeah. And I'm getting a CAT scan for a chemical stress test, which, by the way, came back. I have no blockages whatsoever in my arteries. I couldn't believe it. But I look down, and I'm twilight because they give me stuff. A doctor's standing there. And I see a hand come down to stick a thing down in my groin for the test, and it has black. It's a male hand with black fingernail polish on it. I shit you not, and I look up, and guess what the nurse is? The trans nurse.
Transgender black male.
And I almost reached up and grabbed the son of a bitch by the throat. Seriously, but the doctor was standing right next to the trans nurse, so I didn't do it. I swear to God. I was half out, and I thought it was. It was serious. I'm not joking, man. And I was like, oh, my God. Wait till I tell these guys this story. It's true.
Drugs or no drugs? There's not enough drugs to stop me from flipping out.
Deacon, did he look feminine? Did that dude look feminine, Deacon?
He was from Nashville. Yeah, he's feminine. He had black, like, fingernail polish and was dressed like a woman, man, but he was a man. And I'm like, if the doctor weren't standing right there next to him, I would
have grabbed him. Did you have any words to say?
I just didn't say anything. I couldn't believe it. I was speechless. Well, seriously. I want
to bring his neck.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess it's kind of a had to be there type of situation, man.
Well, they would have kicked me out of the hospital and arrested me and stuff if I would have hit him. So, you know, I couldn't.
I'm not suggesting any tone of violence. Not by any means. Listen, those battles, that kind of thing can be won immediately. I didn't consent to this. Can you please have another staff member in his place?
And then they put these pads on, these EKG pads on your chest. Well, I found a little sticker that was taken off down by my scrotum. And that's not where it was supposed to be. And I don't know who put it down there when I woke up.
There was just
serious.
A sticker.
I'm not joking. I'm serious, man. It's supposed to be on your chest for an EKG, but there was one down by my, you know what's this.
What the fuck?
And this is Columbus, Ohio, man. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, and here's the thing. Had I said something about that, they would have had a psychiatrist come in and give me a
psychiatrist. I can only imagine.
Because I'm there's something wrong with me because I'm not accepting it.
Well, first thing, your first mistake, and I don't believe I'm about to say this, but it is what I do. You're white.
I know.
Sorry.
Was this at your doctor's office or at the hospital?
The hospital. And for the testing, the MRI and CAT machine people.
I can't believe it.
Well, I know it's true because I was only like a little high before I went to sleep and I saw him and he was working with the doctor. When I woke up, I saw the fingernails again when they pulled all the things off my chest. The nurse did it.
You know what, dude? That tranny left you a little gift just to F with your head. Nothing happened. There's too many people. But that tranny said, I know this little white boy don't like me at all. I'm just going to leave this right here.
It doesn't grow. It shrinks on that stuff. So I'm shrinking
Deacon,
on that could, shit.
I'd like to ask you something. When you realize it was did he notice that you noticed it? Or
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Once you caught act of him, you're probably your expression probably, his emotional space probably showed him, oh, this guy knows I'm gay or I'm who I am.
Right. Yeah. I'll just they shouldn't have people.
Well, no, Deacon, you were probably in a mask, weren't you?
No, didn't wear a mask. Nope.
You didn't have to wear a mask?
Nope.
No shit.
No mask, no COVID shot. I said, nope, 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 nope.
Did I tell you a little story about...
They want that money. They want that money. Go ahead.
Go ahead, here.
Did I tell you about the story that I met that petite woman? She says, she was talking to me, she goes, you know, I sometimes feel half binary and sometimes feel like a woman, you know? And so she goes, I really like to be addressed as a little she-it. That's yikes. It. It's a joke. It's a bad joke.
I thought you were going to tell a story, Harry. I really did.
Yeah, it's a terrible joke. She is a little she it. You know, she's half and half. That makes it LGBTQI plus divided.
I mean, you know what the lunacy is that they have a new flag out, right? They have a new flag.
Did I?
The LGBT community has a new flag that they have merged together the Palestinian flag with the LGBTQ flag. Now, when I was a young man, I remember distinctly hearing stories in my 17, 18, maybe mid-20s. Again, I heard it in my mid-20s and then again in my 40s where they were throwing faggots off rooftops in Palestine. Like, you come out as a homosexual, you touched another man, you tried to kiss another man, you showed any inclination of being a homosexual because, again, per the Quran, homosexuality is an unforgivable sin. Okay? So they kill you for being gay in Palestine.
Still today, I don't think so, right?
And you are still, your culture, your faggot ass, is still not acceptable in Palestine.
Well, you better really be in a closet.
Some, Jared Bear, let me get it out at least, brother. Come on, bro. So, your NPC ass can sit there and just stare at the next shiny thing. Because that's what's happening right now. This land grab taking place in Israel has you convinced that some Zionist country is under attack by this feeble little nation. Okay, and then at the same time, a bunch of little kids inside of that feeble little nation are being spoon-fed hate from day one. They come out. When they can start to talk and understand language, they're taught to hate Jews and Christians. Okay? Understand, that is the reality. That is the nature of things. And, you know, last week, I was probably a little bit more sympathetic than I am right now. I was probably a little bit more concerned, well, honestly, about both sides than I am right now. Because right now, I know that there's a lot of innocent people dying. And I'm not going to choose one side over the other because I know the politic is controlled by one entity. Israel, Palestine, they both got a boss. And my money is the same dude or organization. Same guy. Same group of people calling the shots. U.S. is sending money to Palestine. They got senators with Palestinian flags outside of their office doors. They're threatening to bring in millions of more Palestinians into America. It's the perfect solution. America's going to look like the sweetheart deal. They're going to Palestine. They're going to go to the U.N. and they're going to say, we have a deal. I'm going to make you a deal. You can't refuse. Okay.
Hey, listen to this, right? In the propaganda, or in the brochures on Islam, they say in there that when the astronauts, if you believe it, went to the moon, they took sound recordings, and they analyzed the sound recordings when they got back, and they heard this noise, this drone, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and they finally figured out what it was. It was everyone praying, you know, towards Mecca or at Mecca in Ramadan, whatever it was, and just praying. That was recorded on the moon recordings because they're saying that the word of God travels forever, you know. But it's true. Sound does travel forever. We just don't comprehend that because it's the vibration that goes out, you know.
It's not even about comprehending. It's about registering it, because I think if we had the chance to actually hear it, if our brains weren't so clouded and colluded, we could actually enjoy the frequency we all possess. In fact, there's a frequency that emanates in crowds. When you have sound, you want to talk about sound, this is great. You go to a concert, and the reason they have concerts, the reason they put together music, the reason there is music, is that when you have mass participation at a music festival, on the surface, all you see is, okay, you have a bunch of humans, and there's a couple of dudes on stage playing music, and people are getting all drunk and faded and they're rocking out or whatever. No. Below the surface, what's happening is energy is being created at that very moment. They start playing music, and when you have everybody in the audience on the same vibe, you have an incredible... Even in metal shows, which I've been to hundreds, literally hundreds of metal shows, not lying. Even at a metal show, there's a particular frequency, but there's a divine difference. I've been to a deicide show in a max capacity room of, say, 350 people. Deicide, lead singer named Glenn. His name is Glenn. Damn, why don't I know his last name? Anyways, this dude, upside down crucifix between his eyes on his forehead. Albums he's written the music is so talented. The music. It's like he made a deal with the devil. He wrote the type of music that takes sheer raw talent. Deacon could appreciate that statement. But the lyrics, the culture was all satanic. So the vibe in the audience was very hostile, violent, stabbings at some of these concerts I've been to. People being ran over in the parking lot. A whole different vibe. Okay? So then I go to a different type of genre, like a reggae show. Because remember, I love both of these genres. But I'm not a Satanist. I go to the metal shows because I like the instrumentation. I'm not into the praise Satan. Because when I go to like a Pantera metal show, that's not what it's about. Pantera is just a bunch of guys playing music that like to party. Black Tooth. Is that right? So, Dimebag Darrell, rest in peace. So this frequency, it differs and it's relative to sound. And if you're open to these types of frequencies and you can really get your mind and your consciousness involved in these frequencies at a reggae show, man, I'm telling you, you get down to some real roots, Rastafari, it is the type of delivery, the type of frequency that really does open your mind. I mean, even in metal, you have songs like Sweetleaf, Black Sabbath. That song is about the ability of cannabis has to introduce you to your mind. It's not a cannabis commercial right now. But again, frequency plays a role in that cannabis. Well, that's a whole different conversation, but it does add to the frequencies. Natural endocannabinoids found in your body. You guys can jump in anytime in this conversation. These are real life DNA connectors found in endocannabinoids, nervous system in your body, has a pattern which allows the transfer of medicinal properties naturally found in hemp, in marijuana, the sister of marijuana, actually, the THC. You have THC, then you have CBD, then you have CGB, CGC. You have a components list that goes almost 100 long of additional chemicals found in the non-hallucinogenic side of cannabis. And here's the relative to where we are now. Check this out. In two recent studies, they have found that cannabis plays a role in jacketing those threatened by COVID-19. Yeah. So if you're a habitual marijuana user, you are less likely to get COVID-19, according to these two stories, peer reviews. Pretty interesting. So back to sounds. I'm at a Jamaica concert down in San Diego on the beach in OB, Ocean Beach, California, back in like 19, I'm going to say, 99, we'll go with 99, 98. I went to
I lived down there in 73 and 74.
Okay. It's a nice place, right?
Oh, it's
a nice
place.
Yeah. So right there, Crystal Pier, and you got Newport Pier, Newport Avenue, downtown Ocean Beach, Point Loma, Nazarene University is right there, kind of the collision center on the tip of San Diego.
And the sports arena wasn't too far from it.
No, sports arena right down the way. Yeah, the Ducks and whatnot. So I'm at the show in my 20s. And we're vibing. And it's all kinds of diversity. So there's no issues. But it really is in stark contrast to the narrative. And the narrative is that we're supposed to hate each other. We're supposed to, and you can tell through sound and frequencies and in music that's a false conundrum. That's a false narrative, because when people can be brought together so easily through music, and we've seen it throughout time, what music does. Woodstock, forget about it. Forget about it. Ozfest, forget about it. We're talking billions of people have gone to concerts throughout their lifetimes with nothing ever happening. They cancel bands that are too influential. They cancel bands that do too good. There's also Jerry Bear, what do you got? Because I got a lot to go on this.
I just watched the concert at Altman Speedway, where the Stones and the Bikers and all that, it was 1969. That was the end of right after, it was in December, right after Woodstock in 69. And it just, that really tore it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, right? Right? So they in addition to mud floods, how they hide previous civilizations, they also hide the true benefits of music, and they don't actually go to enhance our existence with music. They don't, even though they know that the tech is there. They refuse to broaden our horizons in a sense. So what they do though is they will manufacture bands. They will do total, we will see down the road completely manufactured rock bands, where all the proceeds of the rock band goes to like two guys sitting in a living room, and they never go on tour, but people buy their albums. It's two guys doing artificial intelligence to create a band. I'm sure that this is already happening. ChatGPT, please combine the following drummer, guitarist, and musical genre to these individuals. And you just throw in like the greats, throw in Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, throw in Bonham, right? These guys all from Led Zeppelin, and you mix them, because Led Zeppelin is black magic, by the way. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, all in fools up into black magic like you wouldn't believe it.
Page used to live at Aleister Crowley's pad.
Wouldn't surprise me for a second. So,
and that's where John Bonham
died. What? You throw in Janis Joplin, the Doors, you throw in, you know, all these other musical genres, these musical band, these bands that they didn't let continue. These bands they destroyed. These bands were created for a reason. I can prove it. I can prove it. I'll give you guys the mic in a second. Jim Morrison, his father. So Jim Morrison was manufactured. The Doors manufactured. That whole experience with the Doors manufactured. Died at 27 in the 27 Club. The son, did he really die? The son of a naval admiral who happened to be on a ship connected to Vietnam. Okay?
Fact. Yeah, he was in the what they call that
Battle of the Somme.
Was in Vietnam when that started, the war.
Battle of the Somme.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry.
There you go. All right. So, having said that, Milli Vanilli was a test on our intelligence, and they went almost platinum before America discovered that they were bullshit. They were lies. They were lies. Right? And then we discovered how music like Britney Spears and Hollywood is totally convoluted. They hijacked that broad. They used and abused that broad for everything they could get out of her. And now she's a complete shit show. She's a total mess.
Yep.
Okay.
She was originally a Disney girl.
MK Ultra. What, Gerber? Gerber, what you got?
Britney was originally one of the Disney girls, Mickey Mouse Club, back in earlier days.
Yes, sir. And what is Disney known for? They like to put cock and balls in their animation. They like to turn caves into vaginas on Alice in Wonderland.
I think you'll find every country or every westernized country who had that sort of Top of the Pops and all that sort of stuff and the kids' music shows and the kids' shows.
Yep.
Is you're going to find that that's a whole network, you know, and that the children eventually realize that to be part of that, they have to do those things. You know, not saying all of them were affected, but generally, what we had a Young Talent Time show, Johnny, what's his name? Do you remember his name, Pac? Johnny Young. Yeah, he's up for the same sort of things. You know, Rolf Harris, you know, Timey Kangaroo Down Sport, and two little boys had two little toys, each had a wooden horse, you know. Gaily they played One Summer's Day, you know. So, you know, all this sort of stuff, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's absolutely permeated every culture. And not just Western cultures, but other cultures as well.
Daryl Summers was worse in Australia, Daryl Summers. A lot of people didn't realise that, but I knew that when I was probably about 16.
My niece Jimmy was Seville. Jimmy Seville. That and, guy, all over the world, right?
Bert Newton and Don Lane, you know, the list goes on and, on and on and on.
These people were blackmailers to politicians. Go ahead, Pac.
Exactly. But when you were talking before about these bands like the Doors, you know, the Stones were also, same with the Beatles. These were all fabricated.
How can those guys complete all those songs, you know, while touring and then come out with an album straight away?
Exactly.
I don't think half those people died when they said they died. I think Jim Joyce is absolutely Elvis Presley. I'm convinced of it. Honestly, I think that Jimi Hendrix is Morgan Freeman. I mean, if you just
layer
the faces, layer the faces. The nose is identical. The teeth are identical. The lips are identical. Morgan Freeman.
You're really weird.
Morgan Freeman. Okay. And Jimi Hendrix is manufactured. Jimi Hendrix was manufactured, I'm telling you. He was designed by Hollywood, the record makers, and they put this guy to task.
He was taken to the UK. Left-handed,
upside-down, black-playing guitar player? Come on.
I met a guy at a mic jam sort of thing in Victoria at a place called Flowerdale. And he's like a country pub, basically, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And yeah. He Mo, his name was. He was a sax player in the 60s in session studios in London. And he told me about Jimi Hendrix, and he met him and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he was brought over there simply because to be part of the whole unit, basically.
Yeah. He was probably given the life. He was in the 27 Club, and then he said, "Look, you needed your script. Just look. Come on. They give scripts to NFL players. Why wouldn't they give a script to a musician? Okay, you're gonna write three
what
albums.
About the guy that was what? From the guy that was from 1929 that went out in the Crossroads. He was 27 too.
Robert Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He went to the Crossroads. They made a movie about the guy starring Ralph Mariaccio or something. The Karate Kid.
Yeah. Anyways. And if you read the book Strange Happenings in Laurel Canyon, whatever it's called, which I've got and read, it talks about the Air Force Base at the end of Laurel Canyon, and it's, you know, it's Alice Cooper and the whole mob of them, where Mummers and the Puppers, the Eagles, everyone was involved, you know. Even Joni Mitchell's hung out there for a while, but I think Joni Mitchell's...
Charles Manson. Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Helter Skelter. Manufactured.
Yes.
They all had...
Charles Cousins. Manson was hanging out with the Folger. What was her name? The Folger. They knew each other in Haight-Ashbury before all that. And I don't think that lady died. That actress died. They just moved her somewhere. Like,
okay, so like...
Like John Washington Jr.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Sharon Tate?
Yeah, Sharon Tate, she's still not... she's old now, but...
They're actresses.
That was all made up drama.
Yeah, there were actresses. I found out most recently there's a very, very damning video circling around social media right now. Your best place to find this video is Twitter or Rumble. Rumble, by the way, is just dominating right now. Holy hell. Twitter has a video out right now because I saw it on Twitter first. So, Will Smith, there is some homosexual doing an interview with a newscaster. I can't recall the broadcaster, but this dude goes into disgusting detail on his affair with who he likes to refer to as Little Dink having Will Smith. He makes fun of Will Smith in ways that it would be like locker room talk. Calls him out on the side of his penis and says that he has a marriage arrangement for his Hollywood career. Yeah, something like this happened. But that dude got turned out. And he's a homosexual. And now there's guys coming out kind of confirming this type of thing. Now, I'm not shocked by it. Also, the whole slap was fake as well. The whole thing was generated. There was an actual similar event that took place. I believe it was in the 60s or 70s. Might have been the Rat Pack or something like that. And he basically copied an old script. The whole thing was fabricated. All of it fabricated. So you're sitting in your high school classroom and you open that history book. You turn to page 68 or 67 or 33. All right. And you could just assume that you're reading a pile of shit. You could just assume that the ink and the paper that you're reading from are no more valuable than that toilet paper you used to clean yourself not too long ago. You can assume that now. All over the West. Every nation in the West, I believe, totally hijacked the military to an extent. A good number of the politicians. And you can start to recognize who the politicians are that haven't been hijacked. You know who they are because they don't bend the line. You can sell by how consistent they are. Okay. I'm not going to call out these names because I can't think of any. But you'll know by that kind of pattern. And I don't pay attention to these politicians that much to have that figured out, you guys. All right. So it's going to be about discernment. This is going to be about having the ability to, you know, really dissect fiction from reality, man. It all comes back around again. It does. Tell me, one of my favorite bands growing up as a kid, the Beastie Boys, they released their first album in 1981. Straight out of Queens, New York, the Beastie Boys. Were they manufactured? Tell me
there was a there was a show this guy I played on my show that he says that in L.A. had them, that these guys, like, I think Glenn Campbell was one of these guys. I think the guy from the lead guitar player from Led Zeppelin, these guys were all professional musicians that would jam together, and they created a lot of the Beatles songs, because there's no way they could have wrote all them songs on tour. And it makes sense that they're a special group. Like Jimmy Page was in the one that's in, it was in England. And I know that they said Campbell was the one that was in LA. You guys think that's true?
No.
Because I dispute that as well. That's true.
Let me tell you what they do is they take, when they're touring, they get together on their downtime in their hotel rooms, and they'll sit and write songs with acoustic guitars and lyrics, and the drummer will bring his sticks in and stuff. And, you know, the main songwriter, yeah, true, Jimmy Page was a studio musician, and he really was in charge of Led Zeppelin and really created all that stuff.
He was the talent. Yeah.
Yeah. He bought Aleister Crowley's house. Jimmy Page was in the Sunshine Club or some Sunrise Club or some weird shit over in England and London and shit, some satanic shit when he started Zeppelin. So that is true. Yeah. But as far as who's the other band, Jerry Bear, you said don't write their songs? The Beatles? Lennon McCartney wrote all those songs. They'd write them on acoustics and then they'd bring them into the studio, and George Martin would add all those arrangements with strings and stuff. But they wrote all those songs, the basic songs, the chord structures and the lyrics and stuff. And then they would have George Martin come in and bring strings and an orchestra and, you know, electronic instruments and add stuff. But they wrote all the songs, Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah. But they replaced,
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence with that.
They replaced McCartney. True or false?
Yeah, he was replaced. They sacrificed him. They also sacrificed Mick Jones from the Rolling Stones. They killed them both.
Whoa.
Mick Jones. Okay. Mick Jones. He drowned.
You're saying that Mick Jagger or
no,
Mick Jones?
Mick Jones. He's the one that.
Yeah, and that's why I brought in King
you
Richard
yell at me again, I'm going to come kick your front door in.
You get talk. I need you here sometime. You always.
Hey, it's Brian Jones. And Brian Jones was the second guitar.
Brian Jones, I'm sorry.
And he had a drug problem that was so bad he couldn't perform on stage anymore, so they fired him. They brought in Ron Wood to take his
place. They did bring
him
in.
And after that, they found him floating face up in the swimming pool.
Yeah, and then you got all the small airplanes.
Sorry.
Yeah, you got all the small airplane accidents of oh, who's the one that wrote that song? Oh, I know you know it, Deacon. Stonebird.
Don McLean.
The Stonebird group.
John Denver died in a light airplane crash. Rocky Mountain.
Yeah. On a perfect.
Freebird.
Right? Rocky Mountain.
I think they killed him too.
He dies in Colorado when the Rocky Mountains get a break.
No, he died off of Monterey, where the Monterey, California. He was flying that plane during the Monterey Golf Festival that's big time there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was at a flea market. I think it was like Boston, maybe Denver. Louisiana. And
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, Leonard Skinner, right. But I was at this flea market and, you know, selling my stuff or whatever. And these people come up and I noticed right away that it almost looks like I'm at a political convention. They got like buttons with John Denver, and they got like, you know, a hat that John Denver wore, and the way he would dress in like the leather with the fringes or whatever, you know, John Denver. And they said, do you have anything with John Denver? And I says, I don't think so. I don't think I did. And then I said, what's the thing about John Denver? He says, well, John Denver is almost a religion. Have you ever listened to his songs? His songs are not like the rest of the world. And I mean, these people were like, I mean, they were serious. It was like John Denver was like a god to them. And anyways, I started talking to him about.
Well, he was a folk. That was folk music, right? John Denver.
Well, it was that. I do believe he was like one of the best of the Goyen that they had to kill, but he was able to bring. He was able to bring people up higher. In other words, if you actually listen to his songs, he brings, you know, Country Boy Eating Vittles, and Life Is Good. I can't say.
Right. I mean, so there's probably four John Denvers then. Glenn Campbell, Arlo Guthrie, Woody Guthrie, John Denver.
Campbell was a hell of a guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn Campbell was a top-notch, top 10% guitar player. I mean, he just jammed. But he was a country guy. I'll tell you who you want to look at if you want to look at satanic single plane crashes. Randy Rhoads, who played with Ozzy Osbourne, they hit the tour bus with the plane. That was satanic right there.
Yeah, Don.
Okay. What about John? What about John Bonham?
He died in his own puke. They said
he drank out. They were rehearsing for the latest tour, Into the Outdoor, at Jimmy Page's house, which used to be Aleister Crowley's, which he bought off of Crowley.
Okay.
What's this about a plane hitting a tour bus? What did you say?
Deacon? I don't know, but you're talking about the Randy, what was his name? Randy what?
Randy Rhoads was the original guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne.
He was getting ready to go play with Ozzy, but he never did. He was from another band, but he could kick ass, man. Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen were closely in competition together, but then he got killed.
Randy Rhoads started Quiet Riot. He left Quiet Riot for Ozzy, and they did two albums, you know, Crazy Train and all that stuff.
He died
on that plane crash that they buzzed the tour.
On the Crazy Train tour, right?
Yes.
So you're saying a tour bus got hit by a plane.
Right.
What happened was the guy that was driving there, they had a big bus, right? A big, you know, travel bus and stuff.
Tour
and the
bus.
Guy that was driving that, their roadie, was all coked up, and they stopped about 40 miles from the next gig in Florida, and he somehow got a plane that was over there that had a key in it and took the plane up one ride with a bunch of people from the bus roadies, and then was going to took a second round. Randy Rhoads was on it, and he dived right onto the bus, apparently, and Rudy Sarzo, the bass player, when he was interviewed by the police, said that he looked outside and he saw that apparently Randy Rhoads was trying to take the stick away from the guy because he was trying to stop him from crashing right into the bus. They were fighting in the cockpit.
No shit. Wow.
What band was he from? Quiet Riot?
He started Quiet Riot and left Quiet Riot to play with Ozzy.
Okay, copy.
Okay, so these things are, there's such a pattern of these types of incidences happening with these big bands or these big up-and-coming bands. Let's take Pantera. They toured for like 10, 15 years. They broke up, swore never to get back together again. They went out and created new bands. Phil Anselmo created a band called Damn. Immediately following Pantera. Actually, no. Southern Ritual Kill Trend was his band following Pantera. And then he created Down. So there's that. Down got really big and successful. I think they had like three or four albums. But let's stick to the timeline. at the same time, the other band members are touring. The two brothers, you got Dimebag Darrell on guitar, you got Rex on bass, and then you have the drummer was Vinnie Paul. He was Dimebag's brother. Now, they're on tour with a band called Damage Plan. Damage Plan in Southern Ohio at a little bar in Ohio. A dude out of nowhere, most likely MKUltra victim, gets up on stage with a loaded revolver and points it at Vinnie Paul, the drummer, points it back at Dimebag Darrell and says, this is during a live set, okay? And he says, you broke up Pantera. And he looks back at the drummer, Vinnie Paul, and he shoots him twice. And then he goes to shoot the bassist gets hurt. Everybody's off stage by this point. There's a cop in the audience who's carrying. He takes the bad guy out.
Yeah, that's a shocker. Yeah.
That happened. Yeah. So 3 days later,
yeah.
I'm in St. Deacon, what do you got?
I can say that happened here in Columbus, Ohio at the Al Rosa Villa. Actually, the singer in my last band was a roadie for Al Rosa, and he pretty much told me the story. He confirms everything you're saying here. He was right there when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So 3 days after this happened, I had left Cleveland. I had left Cleveland maybe 3 years prior to this incident. But 3 days after this incident, I was driving a limousine in San Diego, California. I was at the airport 3 days after this happened. I was at the airport to pick up Dave Mustaine, the lead singer of Megadeth, formerly co-founder of Metallica. Okay? So he gets in the car, little town car. I pick him up from the airport, and he's not a happy dude. He's not looking to talk. He's not looking to chat. I've met him once before. He didn't remember me, whatever. He had a house over in San Diego. I'm not going to tell you where, but he's got a house in San Diego. And he gets on the phone and he tells me before he gets on the phone that he's going to do a radio interview on the phone. So it's a Cleveland rock station. I can't remember the name of the rock station back in 1993. It's a rock station in Cleveland.
WMMS.
So, probably. They were a metal station. Cleveland, the hardest rock and roll in America is in Cleveland, Ohio, by the way. Anyways.
Year was that?
1992, okay. 1993, 94, something like this. So, anyways, fast forwarding to this this incident, Dave Mustaine's in the car. He's doing this radio interview, and you know, you don't get this experience to be a fly on the wall. There's no shield. I can't shut the shield in the car. It's just, you know, it's a town car. It's him and I, and I got the radio off, and he's just on the phone having a conversation, and man, this man, Dave Mustaine, was devastated. Devastated. You know, the metal world is really tight. And these things happen in the metal world, but they happen way too frequently, which makes you think about the sacrifices. They might be real. These sacrifices be real. Cliff Burton, possibly the greatest bassist in metal history. That guy, insane what he could do on stage with a bass guitar. Okay? He was the original bassist for Metallica. They're on tour. It's the Master of Puppets tour, I believe. Tour bus in an accident goes on its side, and Burton goes out the window and is crushed by the tour bus. 1 hour before this, the guitarist, Hammond, Kurt Hammond, he's the guitarist, co-founder of Metallica. is in the seat where Cliff Burton is. So Cliff Burton walks up to that seat and says, you know, I slept there last night or something like this. There's like the story goes, something to do with I'll trade the spots. And Kurt, you know, fought him on it a little bit, and then he finally just said, okay, whatever. So Burton gets in the seat on this tour bus. And they crash, and he dies. And it's they're devastated, but they got to finish the tour. So 6 months later, Jason Newsted, at the time co-founder, lead guitarist, and singer of a band called Flotsam and Jetsam, takes over as bassist for Metallica. And they write 3 albums. And I stopped listening in 1991, right after they wrote Injustice for All. There's the story. They wrote Injustice for All, great album. And then right after that, the Black album came. And that's when I believe that they had a talk with record producers. And they were told, if you want to continue in the record business, this is what you need to produce. So there you go. A little bit of knowledge there for you, huh?
Here, I got a clip for you. And so this clip is of a famous producer, music producer, and he's going to talk about, he's doing interviews.
A sacrifice, you know?
Well, you know, he talked about doing rituals and demonic prayer over the albums. And this comes from.
And before they go on tour. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me go ahead and play it.
I'll let you play it. Sure. Okay, go ahead.
It's only a couple minutes. And so here it is. You have to figure out what's going on, but it's self-explanatory. Here we go.
Actually, there's a lot more. What's really interesting is this interview here that I saw on Nick Jones' channel. This is of a famous music artist from about 13 years ago. He had some huge hits. Shane Lynch from Boyzone, an Irish band. He's got some, I think they got some songs with like 80, 100 million views on YouTube back in the old days. I mean, now today it doesn't sound like a lot. I mean, well, it is still a lot, but I mean, like you'll get a billion views on some videos these days. But back 13, 14 years ago, YouTube was not as popular as it is today. It didn't have as many people on it. 100 million back then is probably like 500 million today. So it's quite a few views. So he was pretty prominent back then, but he had some really interesting things to say about the music industry, things that we've talked about here on my channel, things that are pretty jaw-dropping. He's just saying it straight face. That's why the interviewer keeps saying, you mean literally? You're not figurative. And like she keeps asking this over and over because it's hard for her to swallow what he's saying just straight faced. Let's play a little bit of this.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about
We got to get past this. Redwood uses just stupid commercial. Completely natural.
This small portion of this
I expected more from a professional broadcaster.
But majority of it there is to take you away from Christ. 100% take you away from Christ.
In terms of the lyrics, and is that what you mean? Or do you mean the industry itself, people, the big players in the industry?
Both, lyrically and both big players. Both. I've been in rooms at the top of the top, which albums are prayed over demonically. Music is prayed over.
He said demonically, folks. So he's talking about satanic type of course things. And she goes on to ask, he's saying this really straight face. Like he's not like he's serious, obviously. Now let's see what she has to say.
Demonically. And that goes out to the world, goes out to the radio stations, goes out to the public. And when you see that stuff and know that stuff, it's frightening.
What do you mean by that, Shane, prayed over demonically?
So rituals, ceremonies, everything to bring.
So like literally he's saying this straight face, folks. He's saying this directly to her.
Playback? It was really bad.
This guy's got a huge reputation. I mean, he's got a huge band.
Hijacker.
Yeah.
Your playback is really bad.
Yeah. Do you not have the original interview instead of somebody else talking about somebody else.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Mechanic, maybe you might have it better. And so go to the YouTube channel, God
Rules. Why don't you just give me the link? Put the link in Skype.
Okay.
Yeah, just copy and paste the link in Skype. That would be cool.
And this will go to the 15-minute mark, and it's Sky Brian Jones or Nick Jones. He's a famous black DJ.
So what's the overall point? I mean, I heard that the essential part that I gathered from what we heard so far is that the music industry as a whole, did I hear this right? And confirm this with me, folks. Its goal is to direct people towards Satan?
Yeah. Right, so I'm going to...
That's what I heard, right?
In the chat, in the Skype chat.
I don't need to hear anymore. Video could be probably old. It's got a narrator and this and that, but... I get the point, and I believe it. I 100% believe it. I mean, look at the trade-off. Will Smith goes from the TV industry as a little orphan that gets picked up by a rich family.
Yeah.
Right. And then he becomes this snobbish DJ. And then in real life, he's an MC with a DJ. Yeah. And then he goes and creates this huge movie career. That dude went to one of these bendover parties.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to be any more explicit than that.
Absolutely. But
this happens in Hollywood. It's confirmable. So you can go do your own research on this. I'm going to be very vague about it. It's my understanding. These individuals like...
Isn't Ben Dover the cousin of Neil Down?
All of these successful...
Yeah, they're related.
Good number. All related. I don't know if anybody can confirm this or not. I don't even know who's left on the broadcast. I would really love to get Sergeant Miller back on here. I know he's driving, but Sergeant Miller, if you can confirm this.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a butt club for success.
You know what musicians call the recording industry, don't you?
These rich white gay, these rich white homosexuals who love young black men in the record industry. And that's how they get successful. And many of them are turned not only into homosexuals, but they're turned Satan worshipers. And you can see it in their music. If you take a look at Beyonce and Jay-Z, guess what? So Metallica has a black album. You know who else has a black album? Jay-Z.
AC/DC.
And AC/DC.
But Jay-Z is in the Fraternal Order of Black Masons.
You know what musicians call the recording industry, don't you?
Apron.
You know what musicians call the recording industry?
If you will. A Freemason. Hi, Jacker. What do you say to that?
Well, Deacon was saying something.
Deacon, I said real quick,
do you know what? And I'll throw it back to you guys. You know what musicians call the recording industry, don't
Jacker,
you?
You're muted.
The Pink Mafia. It's run by fags and Jews.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Music is a trip, and it's been hijacked in Hollywood, and they're going after a narrative. Apparently, they have an agenda, according to that recording. Did we lose them all together? Crossroads, Babylonian contract with the devil. No doubt about it, Casey Sledge. No doubt. We are in hour number 4. Wow. Deacon? We got Deacon. We got Jacker's muted. Deacon's muted. Mr. Roy, I think, is asleep at the wheel. Jerry Bear is still with us.
Hi there.
So Harry, still with us from Australia. And Pac, his neighbor, also in Australia. Always good to have a biological female with us. Hour number 4. It's been a minute since I've done a 4-hour broadcast. All good.
We're almost neighbors now because he's only about 6 hours from me.
Anything you like, Harry, anybody you like. I got an assortment of things to talk about, but I like the music conversation. I think it's very relevant to today's agenda, what we're witnessing right now there. Because if you're satanic, you probably don't give a shit if the world's about to end. They don't care who's from the country. What is the attitude of a satanic? Does anybody know? Have you ever met a satanist?
I think that again, I didn't hear you.
But there was no in-depth conversation. Anybody on the panel on the High Council know a satanist in person?
We are the world. We are the children.
I did know one ages ago.
It's a tough crowd, right?
I just put the Blade Hits All These Tour Bus video in there for you, Mechanic.
Hey, Mechanic.
I can see you guys trying to talk. Pac Woman, I can see you trying to talk, but I can't hear you.
What's going on?
I met a guy from the Lissus Trust.
I can't hear Harry either. Harry's trying to talk. Okay. Listen, I'm just going to hang up. You guys hang tight. Stay on the call. Whoever wants to can talk, and I'll rejoin you guys.
Is that better?
I don't know, because I don't think he could hear me either. And I've been trying to, you know.
I can hear you guys.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I can hear you, Harry. I
can't hear anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just put that Plane Hits Ozzy's Tour Bus Randy Rose crash. And if you want to play it, I can.
Have a look.
All right, what's going down? Can anybody hear me in chat? Write it in chat if you guys can hear me. 5x5?
Hear you, Mechanic.
What chat are you talking about?
Did I lose internet?
Mechanic can't hear us. He can't hear us.
Yeah, he can't hear us, right.
Well, then he needs to drop
it. Like show online. I just don't hear anybody on the call.
Does anybody know how to boot him?
Let's go to Matrix.
Hang on a second.
How's doing, Matrix?
Let me drop him and bring him back.
Still on the call? Can I get a 5x5 Casey Sledge at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning, fucking 3 a.m.?
Yeah, you got to get him. You got to boot him.
I just booted him.
Right.
I'll bring him back.
See if he can come back. Okay. I could hear him.
Yeah, he couldn't hear us.
Oh, let's see. Oh, hang on. I'll add him again.
That's why he couldn't.
Hang on, I'm trying to. I can't think.
He's coming back.
Mechanic.
That's what you all probably could hear the clip that I was playing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't. That's why. Something was wrong on his end.
I can't find him in my Skype now.
I can go back and replay it if you want.
Try to. Clip. Wait.
No, because wait.
Still can't hear any of you.
Mr. Rose asleep. Jacker, you don't know how to add it. Oh, he's back. He's back.
He's back in, but he can't hear us.
Yeah, he can't hear us.
I can't hear Hijacker either. All right, hey. You guys do what you got to do. Take over the broadcast, Hijacker. Yeah, you got the reins. Or Jer-Bear, one of the two. Deacon Don, all you guys are qualified. All right, I'm out. I'll be back. Give me a second.
God bless you.
Yeah.
I wanted
to say before was in regards to the music, wasn't it the Beatles who changed the beat of music? Like they dropped the beat instead of having the normal 4-beat or whatever? Didn't they change the music? Because if you actually listen to their music, I think they changed like the way that the music was before. In the way that they used to do the beats.
I love the sick.
If you listen to their music, you will actually feel that their music is in a lower vibration than the music before them.
Only my love.
Oh, that isn't even a Beatles. That's McCartney and Wings. No, you're Beatles.
So Harry was going to tell us about he knew a Satanist. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, or just in the music scene in Melbourne, there was a dude wandering around. I got with his sister one time, but he was just like weird. There was a girl from one of the bars. She came up to visit me, but she brought him with me, with her, and when he was walking up the stairs to the place I was living in. He was doing all these incantation chants and all this other stuff, and I'm going, yeah, whatever, you know. It was just a weird dude, and you know, he flashed himself to me one time, you know, and stuff like that. It's just off the charts, you know, strange.
Yeah, they're all sick. They're all evil, yeah. These people. But I think there's been a problem with the music for a long time. But if you listen to all of the stuff now, you know, they all sound the same. You know, they're all on that, you know, they've all got that high, squeaky voice. You can listen to it and you know, they all sound the same. All of those singers, whether male or female, all sound the same. The music is all the same.
If you go back to the root of music, I think it's Azrael ones that gave music to the... I'm trying to find that, actually. I've got a book I can share, actually. It's online. You can get it. From the Ashes of Angels, The Forbidden Legacy of a Fallen Race by Andrew Collins, written in 1957, I think it was. But he actually did the groundwork. He's gone to these places and looked up and studied, like, the noble vulture and you know, the lighted faces of all the stories of the lighted ones, like Noah and Moses went to have enlightened faces and stuff like that, you know, and all that sort of thing. But he goes right into Kazakhstan, and he's found this, in this book, he's found where on one side of the valley there's people, like the jinn people they're called, with dark hair and, you know, and converse with the jinn and the entities that they've he talks about in the book. On the other side, they look like they come from Scandinavia, you know. So you've got the Aryan type of, or the Nordic type of people, you know, and it's the blend between the two in the valley. So in Kazakhstan. So when it talks about the history of music, it was given to man by one of the fallen angels, and that's why. And actually, the lead one is not, his name isn't Satan, it's of the fallen ones, it's Shamyasa or something like that, or I'll find it in a minute. But he's been bound for 1,000 or till the golden age comes again before he's released, because he's such a rotten scoundrel, apparently, to the stories, you know?
Yeah, and then you got another story of a father and son team in a small skiff, and they went to the what they would call the hollow earth, the inner earth, right there.
Oh, that's the smoky sun, right. I think it's called. Yeah.
And they spent 2 years, and they allowed them to take as much gold as they want, and then they dropped them off at the Antarctic, in the Antarctic. So how that works, I don't know.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah.
No, that's No, the Smoky Guy people, they got dropped off in the Antarctic, and which only, yeah, and their boat was so loaded down with gold that they couldn't take the particular turbulence of icebergs flipping over, whatever. But anyways,
in the Roaring Forties,
right? So he did say that they spent 2 years in the Hollow Earth. And with these giants, the females were about 12 foot, males were 15 foot, all very proportionate, very good looking. They had incredible technology. He now believes that the ship that they first, when they first picked up this small skiff, and they saw him, then they took him back. He now knows that it was electric, that the ship actually electric. And if you actually take a look at a lot of writings, you'll hear about ghost ships, where ships on the open sea, they will actually see a ship. And it's got sails and everything, but they're just so damn fast. And they're basically called ghost ships. But anyways, he said, so they said, these two guys, father and son, says, well, what do you do with all your time? And he goes, we make music. And so they heard some of their music. And the guy says, it was the strangest type of music. It was like a mandolin or like a guitar back then, the 17th century or whatever. It was 100 years just before the electricity came in, because the guy was like 99 years old when he wrote this thing. and electricity just came in, and he realized, oh, that's how they were powering the ship. But he talked about the strange music. And so what I'm often wondering, and they said that's what they spent their time doing, making music. And I thought, well, are they making music glorifying God or whatever? What kind of race of giants are these? And then all of a sudden the 60s hit, or it starts off, I guess, in the 50s with the big band. Then it goes into the 60s with the Beatles. And then one genre of music, one right after another. I grew up in the 60s. Yeah, you know, I was basically a kid. And I just remember every day, you just hear a different genre of music, different songs. I mean, it was like absolutely incredible. If anybody doesn't believe me, just take a look at the hits of the 60s.
I love the 60s and the 70s and the 50s and the 40s.
I'm talking about really the 60s is when the rock and roll hit. It's when the Dionne Warwick and the whole the black genre music. And I'm not talking about rap. I'm talking
about Engelbert Humperdinck and stuff like that. Yeah,
Motown.
Yeah, that was before, but Motown. So what did they build these songs? Was this music created, and it was actually used as a weapon that in the 60s that once they got the church drunk on money, and then they put a TV in front of them, and then they opened up the doorway to drugs, and then they hit us with the rock and roll, and then we got the free sex. Was that the plan? Because I mean, I trace the most damage done back to the 60s is the baby boomers. When you see a guy 60 to 80 years old, those are baby boomers, and I'm in that particular category. Those are the guys that really dropped the ball. 1946 to 1964. Those are the baby boomers.
Yeah, this country got queered in the late 60s somehow with some kind of evil eye shit with the Vietnam War, and it's never recovered from that.
Yeah.
When McKenna was talking about, you know, the heavy rock concerts or heavy metal concerts and stuff and the crazy stuff going down, I've witnessed the actual opposite of that. I mean, I was involved with a Pentecostal Happy Clapper church, and we used to like have hours of playing music in the ethereal tones and ascending tones, believing that the presence of God will manifest, and it actually did, which I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, it actually did. But it was like this atmosphere that was thick with golden sort of sparkles in it. It was really weird, really, you know, different type of thing. But the buzz was just rather than just peace and harmony and whatever, you know, because we've been doing it for an hour and a half or whatever, just doing praise. And but actually, you know, and I can testify to that sort of stuff because actually I've experienced it, you know. So there is that power that can be used. And it's up to each individual because we're all resonators. We're all mediums of our own media. You know, we're media. We speak our tone, our thoughts, our actions. And,
you know, yeah, well, that I think when we actually take a look at mosque and we take a look at some of these churches and the way the frequencies resonate and the organs that were in them, I'm actually starting to think, especially with the latest with the Tartarian Empire and these old maps and all this old architecture, domes and pillars and spirals. All across the whole earth with these humongous buildings, which no horse and buggy people built. I don't believe that. So that's why I'm really studying this preterism, where, you know, maybe the 1,000 years of Christ rule was from 550 to 1550. Maybe that's when all these structures were built. Maybe all these mosques were actually houses of worship where people went to get together and sing, and you got the Gregorian chants. In fact, my wife, she's with this Catholic group now. That's not directly with, it's like the Mel Gibson type Catholics. It's not directly with the Catholic.
The Mel Gibson type Catholics. Okay.
There's evidence, Hijacker, from all belief systems, like Mithra in, you know, in Zoroastrian or Iranian, you know, Persian stories and stuff, where there are many, many, many ascended masters. And what happens is their cycle is much shorter than what we've just been sold a little program to believe an extension of something that they want to prolong for as long as possible. When really, it's happened so many times, that's the realization I've come to, that when you look at the different entities, at different peoples who are, you know, the ascended masters in each storyline from all around the world, it happens more often than we realize. And the compression is that it can happen in our lifetime. That's the reality of the quantum entanglement of life itself, is that we have all the evidence, we have all the means. Now we just need to put the puzzle together and reestablish it, because the Messianic age is not a messiah. It's a group. It's a collective conscious change to the way that we engage with the natural world and with creation, I should say. And it's a way where we harmonize with it. This is why they talk about, you know, 1,000 years of peace, love and harmony or whatever. The harmony is the tools that we have been born to make that harmonic change. And it's an instrument that's invisible. The instruments are invisible. This is the invisible instruments, or made out of, you know, from a nanoforge, nanofoundry, I should say. The thing is, like, all the special scepters or rods or, you know, staffs and hammers and tridents and whatever they had, those gods or leaders, they originally, not now, but originally were built specifically for the intention of the thought vibrational field of the person that was going to use it. So it's a unique, calibration to their consciousness. And they used it in certain acts of things, but like a magic wand, basically. But this is how it's done. That's how they did it. It's through refining the intensities of the frequencies of vibrations that come from thought. And this is what they're doing now. This is what they're doing now with the... But they're using it in the wrong way. That's one aspect of the technology. The other aspect of the technology is actually using it to sing, capture the songs of the praises of the rocks to God, which is the foundation stones that will reestablish this broken thing.
Yeah. Well, I've got a theory on the second coming. And this is along the lines that you're talking about, Harry. I believe the second coming is not the Messiah, Jesus, coming back. I believe the second coming is us going back to that foundation that we were meant to be, the conscious being. And when that happens, when that vibration comes back and the song of the land comes through all of us, and we unite in spirit and thought and love and harmony and compassion, that's the second coming.
Like New Age agnosticism.
Where we unite against evil, because once we start having, you know, that consciousness, we push evil back.
Yeah. Or is that like,
yes, God don't need someone to come and save us. We are to save ourselves.
You're a charismatic Catholic, then. Mel Gibson's charismatic Catholics. I know who they are. They speak in tongues.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
No, well, Harry's going to say something, and then I wanted to interject. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, well, as it says in the Bible, you know, God or the Elohim or whatever you want to call it, did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So even having the sound mind is a resonance of thought patterns that has the stability to have the equilibrium to be stable through all the, you know, the valley of death or through the troubles and turmoils, because there always be wars and rumors of wars until we actually say, okay, enough's enough, let's make the change.
All right, so here's my revelation. Okay, I've been on the battlefield a long time, in my early 60s, and from this point that I've lived, and I have searched the earth for honor, all kinds of different places. And I'm telling you, we are all rotten. We have to have a savior. There is no saving ourselves. There's no uniting. There's none of that. Everybody, if you really think about your life and the life of anybody that you know,
we're born into original sin.
Well, no, I guess so. But what I'm saying is that basically we all do what's in our own self-interest. If you think about it, if it comes down,
really,
I think you're painting
isn't that greed, gluttony, and all of that sort of like evil?
No, I'm saying if it comes down to you doing what is absolutely the right thing, and then you doing. And then the other choice is doing something which is going to benefit you or it's in your self-interest. 99 times out of 100, and it's only the people who are the most devout to the Most High through Jesus Christ. Or maybe if you're in Islam and you really know what the right thing to do, but then you actually go against what is against your self-interest. But 99% of the time, people do what's in their own self-interest rather than what they do, what is the right thing. And so that's why I'm saying when I hear ascended masters and collective consciousness, I don't see it.
That's Masonic 33 degree stuff. If you listen to Jeremy over there, remember Jeremy Hijacker on that channel?
Right.
He said they believe those little minor divinities are here now, giving them advice. The ascended masters.
They are. That's the thing. That's all the hidden stuff. That's all the occult stuff. Is that they already know this. They've already been in operation together for a long, long time. And we're just catching up to it, you know. It's true. This stuff is really going on. We're just we're in this farm that we're born into, whatever you want to call it, you know.
And your salvation is in the Christ.
Is in the what?
In the cry.
In the cross, he said.
Your
salvation is in the cross through Jesus Christ, the only Son of God.
Well, that's the thing. We're all sons and daughters of God, of the Most High God. And until you realize that the Christ within you or the light within you needs to reflect or beam out or whatever you want to do with it, the attributes of what the third group of, you know, the Essenes believed in, which was a much more detailed mix of connection with nature and the angelic.
Right, but the problem, Harry, is that you take a look at your own life or of somebody else. What is the most selfless thing that you have ever done in your life?
I mean, let my children go.
Okay, yeah, well, at least you went for the big answer, okay? Right. You went for the big answer. But what I'm saying is that if you really think about how people construct their life and how they live it, we basically live a materialistic, a fleshy type of.
That is not everybody. That really is not everybody, Hijacker. Really.
Show me somebody. Show me somebody. That's the problem. I mean, you know, you got the example of Christ who laid his life down. But, like, when I search, like, let's take the 300,000 pastors in America. Well, I'm talking about the Protestant pastors. You got all these babies being murdered, all this abortion. How many of them actually have said, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm going to do something about it. And so how many of them actually have been slapped or punched or protested, forced the government to throw them in a stinking jail cell? None of them. None of them. None of them have any. Look, we're at the.
I can't speak for anybody else. Like, I really can't speak for anybody. I can't make judgment on anybody else's actions. All I know is the information that's inputted into me, I've got to output what I think's the best value that I can share with what
I'm just saying. Show me somebody. Show me a man of honor, Harry. That's what I'm saying.
Look, I'm sure you believe that you're a man of honor as well. So it's a belief in yourself. When you start trying to look for other people, that means it shows a lot of insecurity for a start. You know.
No, when you try to figure out what the hell is going wrong, and then you start to go back into time.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to figure out what went wrong as such, especially with other people. We're supposed to, you know,
how you had the situation and move forward.
Hands of the Creator. We're supposed to let all the troubles go and leave it in His hands and just, you know, live. We're supposed to live without worrying about other people, what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're doing. But anything to do with, like, evil, we're supposed to stand up and stop it. That's our role.
Right, and I'm just saying so few people actually do that. That's what I'm trying to say. It's just because it goes against their – it seems like this to me. Everybody seems to find their spot. Like, everybody's got a spot. This is my job. This is my career. This is my business. This is my ministry.
We didn't name our dog Spot. We named it Freckles. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right. But so – and so if you think, as a Christian does, that Satan is the god of this world and these are his kingdoms, it seems like – all of these guys, they find a particular spot within this kingdom, and then they seem to know, based on what they know through secret societies or the Freemasons or whatever, and they go and they basically say, okay, this is what I can do. This is as far as what I can say. Anything that I do above this, my life is going to get trashed up. So therefore, I'm not going to do that. And so they seem to have, everybody finds their spot. They seem to know the rules, and they go, okay, I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to cause any more problems.
Those rules are meant to be broken. All rules are meant to be broken except the ones given to us by the Creator. They're the only rules that we need to follow, the natural law.
I can give you a perfect example of what you were just describing, right, Hijacker. I'm living in this shed in the bush sort of thing, in a bush block. It's decked out with everything, you know, and insulated. But at the front of the property, there's a house, and there's an old couple that lives there, and she's a practicing justice of the peace, and they're in their 80s, and they run the internet, free internet cafe in town. No cafe, actually, but it's an internet thing. And, you know, and the owner of the property, who I've rented off, houses the internet cafe thing at his closed service station in the town. Now, what's happened is I've been paying a quarter of the bill of the power because there's only one. They're on the name, and the power box goes down to the shed as well. And they told me when I moved in there was no power box separate meter for the shed. So I believed that, and I found out that there isn't now. But what I've also discovered is this, you know, pillars of the community, have been ripping me off blind because they've got solar power on their roof, and they're basically getting paid by the power company for the rebate or whatever they get, you know. And all I asked was to get, because I started my own business this year, and I just needed receipts and copies of the bills, of the amount I've been paid so far. And they wouldn't give them to me, so I had to write a letter, and it's turned out they wouldn't respond to the letter, and I had to go see the landlord. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I've got a very horrible situation where I feel, you know, I felt livid for a little while there. It's just these, you know, people ripping me off for no fair reason. But I've come up with a solution because I've got the power. I'm in control of the situation. I've got to give them the money. And so what I've did ages ago, actually, months and months ago, was bought this Internet of Things, like a, you know, a sensor you stick on my power box in the unit. So it tells me, feeds me how much I spend every day on power. But the thing I'm trying to say here is that how you deal with the situation is, of course, I was very angry and upset by these, you know, people, but I've chosen to provide a solution and you know, with complete, you know, without prejudice, basically, I'm going to put in the letter, so that they know that I'm not having any animosity towards them, and I've fixed the solution, and I've dealt with these, you know, rascals, the hillbillies that have been ripping me off. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to backdate, now that they've agreed through the landlord to go on how much usage I'm actually running off the power, rather than charge me a quarter of what they've been using. I can backdate it to the date I moved in because I've got the sensor thing. I can work it out. Going on a mean average and stuff of data collected already. So, you know, it's a really simple solution, but of course I got a little upset about it, and I suppose that's being a bit ratty and sort of coming, you know, getting the skin of the world on me and getting cranky about it. But it's good to get angry too sometimes. You're just not to sin about it and to work out a way forward for everyone. But they know that they've done wrong, and, you know, they've got to live with that. So, well, they probably care. But anyway, so that's what I'm trying to say, you know, is it's your metal, it's your conduct on how you deal with situations in life, you know, that makes you valiant or whatever, you know.
Right, yeah. And so it looks like we got a call. 201, I just called in. Is that Dan the man?
That's me, my man. How are you?
Well, pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, between the stink and the shit. Oh, how's my boy, Sean David Martin, doing?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
I could say something about him. He just messaged in. Excuse me. He just messaged in Facebook that he had a nice birthday, and that he's really, no, it was his wife's birthday, Melissa. Pardon me?
Melissa.
All right. Melissa.
Excuse me.
I'm just trying to tell you that he mentioned that he still loves her, and he's still alive because of her. And so he just mentioned that. So I guess he's feeling better.
Yeah, is mechanic there?
No, he's sort of had a bit of a.
He hit the road.
Yeah, the mechanic dropped out. He was having some kind of internet issue where we could hear him, but he couldn't hear us, and he finally dropped out.
How about the sergeant?
Who?
Sergeant Miller.
Sergeant.
He was here a while ago, and then he dropped out. I don't know if he's driving truck right now or not. Two Feathers is here, and the Cork Pack is here, and Mr. Rose.
How about Deacon? Mr. Rose is a good man.
Yeah, Deacon was here, and Deacon dropped out. Well, you're sounding better. You sound like you got over your stroke.
No, not really. that's the least of my problems. Families all broke up. You know, there's a big riot going on in Washington, D.C. tonight. I give it about 6 months, we'll all be killing each other. So I just wanted to say hello to my real patriotic friends. And, well, reap what you sow. You let them all get away with 70% of congressmen and senators all being paid off. So Jefferson wanted 8 years time, and that was it. They told him to shut up and write. So, but I just wanted to drop in and say hello to all of my friends and tell you that do the best we can. If I really wanted to talk, I'd have the federales by the door banging on it. What we should do, you know. But I can't do that. There's no more freedom of speech.
No.
There's no more America. There's no more America. It's done. Finished. So, I got my
family. What did you think about GP?
I wanted to mention something.
Saying the man?
Yeah.
What did you think about GP coming to America?
Say it again.
What did you think about Xi Jinping, the Chinese president,
coming to San Francisco?
It's all theater. It's all theater.
Good call, Dan. You know, Dan, getting up in my age, I'm 67. I know you're an older man, too. I'm going to say, you know.
81.
May I say something, please? Us getting up in our age, I wanted to say, you know, I might just feel better passing on than putting up with all the bullshit we going through. Over.
I pray every night I don't get up in the morning and I'm with my mother in heaven. I pray every night. But well, God don't like me. He likes to see me squirm. My children all wish each other death. You know, I mean, I gotta watch my grandchildren suffer. And, you know, this country's gone. Finished. A long time ago. Hey, did you ever hear of Behold the Pale Horse?
You think I didn't?
Behold a Pale Horse, yep.
Behold the Pale Horse of Cooper. They shot him. I saw the video of the driver turning around and blowing Kennedy's brains out.
And yeah, those seven sheriff's deputies surrounded him, and he jammed his truck to his pad, and then he got on his porch and tried to take him out, and they took him out.
Hey, has everybody seen that movie?
Do you believe that? He was assassinated.
I know that.
Has everybody seen that movie, The Campaign? The Campaign? Huh? Have you seen that movie, The Campaign? It's about Dan Aykroyd and that guy, Zach someone, whatever his name is. It's about a guy, a really sort of funny guy, going as a campaign for, you know, for the state sort of thing he was in. And but the storyline is the baddies, so to speak, were doing deals with China, you know, and them setting up factories in America and stuff like that. And really, if you look at the parody of it all, and that's what Xi Jinping is, I think, is here for, is to check his investments, you know, obviously, you know, because we're the same with Australia. We've all been sold out too, you know. It's a slipping.
Will Ferrell in that movie.
Let me tell Carol. You something. When I was 14, when I was 14, 15 years old, I was told that China would rule the world. So I was a victim of MK Ultra by the Jesuits out of Fordham University at 14 years old. Of course, it's a long story, but my cousin had an IQ of 120. He was about 15 years older than me, and he hated me. Hated me because back in the day, 80 years ago, if you carried the family name, you were an Italian. So now I'm an Italian American. If you carried the family name, you were a king. So my aunt so treated me like a king, and my one aunt, and he hated me. So I'm sitting in the eighth grade, and a girl comes in, she hands the teacher a note, and it says to me, Danny, you go down to the principal's office. And I didn't do nothing. So I went down to the principal's office. He says, you'll be in number 5 school tonight at 7 o'clock. I said, why? He said, shut up and be there. I went there. The last thing I remember was walking down the stairs to the gym. And when I came out, I was wobbly legged and walking the wrong direction. So I've been a victim all my life. So my cousin, who had an 180 degree, the evil Jesuits grabbed him in a heartbeat. His family didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. They gave him a full ride at Fordham and 2 years of parapsychology. And all he did all his life was sit in a chair with a legal pad and ride and ride and ride and smoke 4 packs of Parliaments a day, and then at night get stonewalled drunk, and that was his life. So and he wound up like 50 years old, and they say he killed himself. I don't believe it. He's still working for the government. You know, the people, they're gone. They're gone. I can't wait till a couple of months, maybe even sooner. Everybody's shooting each other. I can't wait. I try to talk to my kids. They say I'm nuts. I'm nuts? You think it's real? You talking?
The world is nuts. You're not nuts, Dan. Dan, but you're not a victim, right? You're a survivor, right?
Would you like to live in hell every day? Survive that? Every day you're in hell?
Every day we are in hell. Like, look at the world. The world is hell, right? If Lucifer is the god of the earth, then we are in hell, right?
Yeah, that's what some people believe.
I don't believe in God. I believe in Jesus of Nazareth. I believe in Jesus and Mother Mary. God, I'd like to pull my hands around and stroke and squeeze their neck until his eyeballs pop out. I believe in Jesus and I believe in Mother Mary. Look what they did to Jesus.
But man did that to Jesus. God did not. Men do evil. in women, but men do evil. God doesn't. We all have choices. It's up to us to do good. And if we do evil,
I'd like to say something. Even India and China, they have their own Mother Mary and their own baby Jesus. Somehow, all these, then we have Jesus from the Romans. Somehow, how did all these stories of the same type of mythology or spirituality come about? If you do a little research, you'll see that. India had a Mother Mary and a baby Jesus. Different names, but similar.
Who killed Jesus? Who killed him?
He never died.
No, actually, we all did. Actually, since he became sin for us, we all killed him.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, being nice to speaking well. Pontius Pilate said he didn't do nothing to deserve to die. They said we want him dead. We want them dead, the Jews. And something just finally killed them. So, you believe what's going on over there, what they tell you? Yeah, are you kidding me or what? And Palestine is the world's largest open-air concentration camp. And that's it. And you ain't going to do nothing about it. You ain't gonna do nothing. Oh, you'll disappear.
The Rothschilds a couple hundred years ago bought a bunch of property down there in Palestine, and they're the ones that created all this mishap and killing those Palestinians with creating Israel and all that shit in 1947. It's all in the mix. And they've been planning all that stuff years ago. They don't mess around. Over.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear about my man, John David Morton. Me and him were close.
Yeah, he got pulled back from death's door. I was on another network when he was in ICU, and I thought he was a goner. And I was talking a little bit about how, you know, he had figured out how to use their own system against them. But his mistake was he was teaching people about bonds and this whole legal system.
Right.
And then they threw him in prison for 6 years. But
six.
Is that how long he was gone? I partied with Sean David Morton at Hawkfest 2. We had a good time, me and him. It was a great time out there with Nighthawk and the Mona and all those others. With Sean David Morton there. It was a lot of fun. God bless him.
Oh, yeah. Me and Sean were close. I met him at a seminar and we hit it off. And you call him, he can't get through to him. Sometimes he answers me. He gave me the book, Sands of Time, the original, 2010. And well, I'm glad to hear he's doing good. Because, see, he opened his mouth. He told the truth. And the truth hates one another, you should say.
Well, what really happened is that he cracked out like $430,000 in a tax. He got a rebate back from the taxes. Somehow he was able to use their system. And they let it go. He was able to do what he did legally to not get that. But they remembered it. But then Sean started teaching people exactly what he did. That's when they came after him. And I always thought, too.
Yeah, I did it, too. I did it, too. And I got a letter from this SS.
IRS?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a letter saying, basically, shut your mouth or go to jail. 5 years. So I shut my mouth and went to jail. But everything he said on the back of that card, is your bank account number and a name on the front of that Social Security, you're the straw man. But who was that guy and his son that was going around teaching that in the van? They filled it up with 1,000 bullet holes. Who was that guy?
Father and son team. Yeah, they got killed at a traffic stop. Yeah.
Yeah, they filled the van with 1,000 bullets. Why? Because they told the truth.
Well, they actually were running away. And even though they weren't
Were you there, hijacker?
No.
Did you see them running away? You were told that.
Yeah, that's right.
You were told that.
You're right. We don't know anything anymore. Which, speaking of which, so we're coming up on the hour, and I got to drop off. It's almost 1 o'clock my time here.
I got 4 o'clock my time here. So I want to say thank you for having me on, and may all your family have good health, safety, and protection from evil. All of you I love, and you're the only thing I got, really.
God bless you, Dave.
Thank you. God bless you, and thank you for hearing me.
Just remember, you're the best it ever was, and don't let anybody forget that.
Thank you. I'll try to call him early next week, earlier, 1 o'clock my time. You know, that would be better when everybody's there. I like the sergeant.
Hey, get those New York Jets on a winning cycle, would you?
I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Zach's on his way out. But you guys got Trey Lance.
Who?
Okay, Dan and everybody, you all have a good night.
See ya.
All right.
I'm not going nowhere. I might stick around.
All right, guys. Have a good night. God bless you all.
See ya.
Okay. Never say goodbye. Say see ya.
See ya. I always want to be ya.
Good night, Dan.
Sorry, guys. I love you all. I really do.
Thanks.
Okay. See ya.
Yeah. I'm home skillet. Well, we still got Pack here, and we still got the studio, and Dan hasn't left it. Deacon and Harry's here, and Two Feathers. Hello, everybody. What's happening? It's raining here in Vegas today, right now.
I want to hear.
Who did that? Who put those hearts up?
I did. I want to hear Sergeant Miller on some of this.
He's not here.
But where's he at, man?
I think he dropped. Well, he left sometime back.